Blog Talk Radio.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
We'll be right back.
Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. It's Free Angel Reading Roundtable Midnight. Join us. Thank you all for being here, and it's great. So, you know, 3 hours of angel readings and chatting about whatever. So if you have a topic you want to bring to the table, please do so. Anything you want to talk about. We're open-minded here, so therefore let's talk about what we can. Also, the situation, I always say give love where love is given. So donations are appreciated. And for the ones who have been giving donations, thank you very much. And I also do private readings. So if you want to call me for a private session, the number is 740-601-1057. Contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. This is a long one, isn't it? So give me a call. Like I always say to everybody, donate, private readings, go to my website. And let's get on with the call here. And plus, I also want to introduce my co-host, Bree. She's here with us too today, tonight, as she always is. How you doing, Bree?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So as long as we get through this whole thing about our switchboards bouncing back and forth like volleyballs, we'll go okay, right?
Right.
Yeah, because it's kind of driving me crazy. But hey, well, at least we're here, huh? It's all a lot different than it was yesterday. I have to admit that. It's a whole lot better. And everything seems to be really kicking in tonight, too, huh? What do you say?
Yeah.
I've never seen so many people since the last time I went to the fair, you know? let's see here. We'll just go and let's start doing readings. You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, cool. Here we go. Our first caller is 253. Welcome to the show. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Donnie. I just left you a message in the chat room. I'm all magenta blue, and I don't know if you had a chance to read it yet, but did you?
No.
No.
It seems like I'm really popular tonight. Everybody keeps IMing me.
it keeps you doing what?
Everybody keeps IMing me, instant messaging me, and I was like, it's covering my
screen.
Oh, I see. So I'm like, thank you, everybody. I was like, I want to see this. I can't see the chat room for the trees. Okay. So how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? I actually called you the other night when it was so warbly. I don't think I got one word straight. So I'm glad to hear you back in gear.
Yes. Yeah, it was going great. It's calling in the angels and stuff like that to say hello, what's up? And it seems like it's working, so.
Yay. Sounded like they were all drunk the other night. A cast of thousands trying to get through, or I don't know, something like that. Hey, anyway, what my message said to you was, you know, I've talked to you about this friend I had whose name is Kevin, and I've been doing all the work of moving on, and I thought I really had it down, and he's showing up psychically. In the middle of the night, showed up sobbing, like, bye, goodbye, you know, boo-hoo, goodbye, and then two other times, I love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you can kind of tune into that, please, and see what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I was actually in the chat room looking at that. I had to scale back up, but I found it, and I did read it, and I was kind of like, first thing that came to my mind was the idea of him still trying to convince himself. That's the first thing I picked up on. He's really having a tough time letting go of those feelings, no matter how much he wants to be logical about the situation. We talked about before about where there's something about him he thinks, because of what he's been through, that since you are, I guess, older than he is, that he's trying to put you in a category. And, you know, I just get the impression he's really having a hard time putting you in a category because you don't really fit in a category. You are who you are, and that's the hard thing about the whole thing. You don't. So the ideal, you say he comes to you at night, right?
Right. And, you know, I got the first one about, you know, sobbing and goodbye and, you know, and that was pretty cool. But the others were, I love you so much. And, you know, here he is still in a relationship with this other woman. And so thank you for shedding some light on it, that he's having a hard time letting go. But is he moving on?
My impression is no, it's an illusion. I feel like he's using this girl as a foundation. Like we said before, I think he's used. What I mean by a foundation is he's saying this is the woman I'm supposed to be with, and he's trying to really live that. It's not panning out as easy as he thought, and he keeps constantly reinforcing that to himself. And then at night, when he's asleep, I think it's one of those things he's always asked to project anyway.
Right, he does have that stuff going. And so he's unconscious of coming to me?
Yeah.
He's not, he is. His soul is coming.
Right, so this is what we say in the situation of a person and talking to the higher self and that kind of stuff. It's like, I would say, how would I put this? The higher self and his true intentions are communicating. And that's the part that's coming to you, which is realistically, he's coming to you.
Right.
Okay, but when he comes back into his body, it's the physical part that tries to analyze it and to put it in a category and say, no, that's not what it was. I didn't go anywhere last night, and it's just I just keep getting the impression that comes to me that it's just a matter of time. You know, with this kind of work and this kind of thing going on, it's just a matter of time before that true self becomes
breaks
overpowering.
Through.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so do you see him splitting up with this woman? I'm not interested in being a go-to girl where, you know, he comes to me and then he goes back.
I feel like he will. But it's one of those situations I feel like there might be a couple of times he comes to you before that. And to really get
Wait a minute, Donnie, I'm misunderstanding you. You mean he is going back to her? He's splitting up and then going back to her?
I think he'll actually come to you before he splits up with her. And I think what you need to do is, that's like, it's just one of those things that I have standards, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I told him I'm not interested.
Well, just keep reinforcing that.
Okay.
Just keep.
And so you.
Keep,
and then you see, then you see him splitting up with her finally.
Yeah, I do. That's what I'm saying. Got to keep that foot down.
Yeah.
And, you know, push it and say, no, you got to go back there and really break the ties. And I just feel like it's one of those things that's overwhelming, that he will.
Mm-hmm. What is overwhelming? Him and her or him and me?
Actually, the situation where he feels about you right now would be him. Being overwhelming because of all, see, because he's coming to you now. Yes, he's pulled to you. That's true, and it's that part is about you. But there's what I'm focusing on right now is this overwhelmingness of himself that he's going to succumb to this, which basically understand that this is where he really wants to be at. This is where his soul's at. This is the ideal twin flames and the ideal of the soul connection. Everybody's bonded and connected on this planet, but there's individuals that were really bonded to, and this thing here is one of those things that he has to come to terms with him. So it's not, and I would sit, and I did say this before to you, I remember, that I feel like being with her just reminds him of where he really wants to be at, which is not with her, but with you. So you have all these factors working to get him to come to terms with his real
true
self.
Can you project to see when you think they'll be splitting up?
I get mid-June.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate being able to come to you and ask you these questions about him because you really do get him.
Oh, yeah. Did you say hi to my co-host, Bree?
Oh, no. I have never met Bree, but I think she's got an adorable voice, and I love her giggle. So thank you for adding that and projecting it throughout the whole entire planet, Bree. It goes all around the world. Fabulous. So thank you both. And I'm just going to stay on and listen to, I probably won't make it through the 3 hours. My God. What time is it there?
12:18.
Oh, my God. Do you ever sleep?
I'm starting to wonder that myself. So.
Yeah. You probably dream about this radio station.
Yeah.
Okay, darling. Thanks, guys.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Keep reinforcing that, Bree. You're good at that. See, the world hears you. They're fantastic. You're putting energy out there, huh?
Yeah. That's awesome.
There you go. So, clear. And you've gone to Europe and, gosh, you haven't left your house yet, huh?
I know.
God, it's kind of crazy on the switchboard. You were actually like in the middle. Now you're at the bottom. I was like, traveling, aren't we?
Yeah, I can't even see anything. I'm in the chat. I got in the chat, but I don't have the switchboard.
Oh, okay. So you can't see where you're at. Okay.
No
problem. Let's go and just do some more calls. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's try again. Click, click, click. Three's a charm. Hello, everybody. Take a deep breath. I was actually clicking on. Hold on. That drove me nuts. All right. Area code 347. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine.
Say hi to Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Hi.
I just have a question regarding my career path.
Okay. What would you like to know about your career path? Still in the process of trying to figure that out?
Yes. I'm about to graduate, and I'm just wondering, what do you see within the next 5 to 10 years, maybe?
5 to 10 years? Boy, you're going with the big thing, aren't you? 5 to 10 years. Not for the next couple of months, are you? It's like 5, 10 years. The one thing I get mostly with you is that you really need to follow your heart. And no matter what the situation is or the picture or whatever, That's the first thing I picked up when I heard that. And when I have your question. And hold on, I had to reach for the cards for a second.
I'm actually thinking about moving back to my hometown. I'm just wondering if that would be a good decision, or should I just stay where I am right now?
The impression I get is you should go back home.
Okay.
Because you really feel pulled there. And for some reason, you feel like you can accomplish a lot there. It's almost like you want to give back to where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very quick answer. When I get quick answers, I always tell people I was pretty much stressed that you should follow through with that. But that was the very first thing I picked up on. Came very quick.
Do you think I'll be able to achieve that?
Success depends upon you, no matter where you're at. It's just the ideal. Do not let your family deter you from what you want to do. I think this makes sense to you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because it's like you know what you want to do with your life, and we also have to understand it's your life. You know, the idea of taking advice and that stuff, that's good. But when people start saying what I would do if I was you, well, the thing is, they're not. So they should tell you, this is how I live my life, this is what I feel you should do. But then, do like most of us do, we make our own decisions. I had to learn the hard way, too. I mean, I came home, and I wasn't too happy about the whole thing because my family do not approve of what I do, and it's constantly joke fest. I don't know if you've ever seen All in the Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how they always insult each other all the time?
Mm-hmm.
That's my family. Bingo. But it's all psychic jokes. It's like, you know, are you going to wear one of those Swami hats, and are you going to do this? But see, no matter what happens and no matter what anybody says, I don't stop doing what I know I'm supposed to do, no matter what. Even when I have periods where it's down and it's not going as well as I thought it was, or I'm not making the money I should, I have to take a step back and look at the situation and go, why not? It has to be with something that's hitting me or I'm thinking or doing or something, but the source is me, so I have to go back and look at that or look inside. And that's what I'm saying. Right now, you're looking deep within yourself because you really want to make sure that you don't make a mistake.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. So you sit there and look at that situation and go, man, this is what I want to do. Can I really do it there? If you're being pulled back there, there's a reason why. So let yourself go back there. Even if it's just a reflection or something like that, because I feel like once you make the decision, the next 5 years are going to be good for you. It's just that you have to follow through with where your intuition takes you. Because it's always pulling at you. And I just keep getting that you should go back and deal with that situation. Because it's, I mean, when it comes to me, my angels have a tendency to point things out in my own life. And I had to go home to realize that I can be successful no matter where I go.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what people say. It's all about how I feel. And it's about my inside. It's about my inner talk. Am I going to feed into it? Or am I going to sit there and be strong and be courageous and stand up for what I believe and what I know? So I think that from what I can pick up with the situation, going home is just to find out more about yourself and your strengths. Because it seems like your family can be really challenging.
Yeah.
So
another thing I'm thinking about is I'm trying to figure out whether I should try to continue my education, like do a second program before I leave, or should I just go there and then probably later on I'll be able to continue?
I keep getting that you should continue and then you should go there. How does that make you feel?
I'm kind of iffy. Because I'm just trying to see whether I would have the opportunity to continue my education even after I leave.
You know, the answer I get on that is that you keep saying that you need to finish your, you need to finish, because that's what you keep saying, you need to finish your education.
Okay.
I feel like no matter which direction you go in, you can do that. But I'm just saying, if you do decide to stay there and I feel like there's opportunities all around you, so it's still a choice.
Okay.
Just because you don't see them now don't mean they're not there. It's just that you have to make the decision to go, I want to finish my schooling. And don't hesitations about it, and I feel like the opportunities will open up for you then. It's just I feel like the universe is kind of like, well, you know, you don't want, you're kind of faltering back and forth. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they're waiting for you to say, I want to finish my schooling. And then opportunities will open up for you. And I still see it being choices.
Okay.
So there's, I'm just saying, I don't see it that you have to go one way or the other. I just feel like it's like, I guess what I keep seeing is like a baseball field. You got all those bases you got to go to,
mm-hmm.
but eventually you get home. And then when you get home, then you look back over the field and you see things clearly. That's the way I see it come to me. So I'm just saying, let yourself follow through with this whole thing, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right.
I know you will.
Is it okay to ask a question about my health?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually have like pain in my chest sometimes. I'm just wondering, is it something serious or should I be worried about it?
No, it's not something seriously. It's more anxiety and stuff that happens like that when you get stressed out. And they're saying, it's one of those things of learning stress techniques to relieve. I say meditating. And I can tell people a lot of times, I say meditations, I say chakra clearings, or cleansings and those kind of things, because those are the things that help us to clear out so we can let go.
Okay.
And even when it comes to relationships, and if there's anybody out there I've done readings for in the past who kind of got iffy and tiffy and hung up on me, because I mentioned chakras and that kind of stuff, and you still haven't found that boyfriend yet, this is the way you do. You have to let go of everything that happened a second ago, clear back in your past. And if you're still having problems with it, I suggest that you get some. The reason I suggest past life regressions and past life readings is because sometimes a situation we have in our life with certain things we can trace back, we can't figure out in this lifetime, more likely the lifetime that you've been carrying with you.
Okay.
Probably one of the reasons why you came back this time to confront that, and it's playing itself out. So if you have the chance to do those past life readings, I suggest that you do one of those things. And like I tell people before, I know people are this kind of stuff, but just come to the table and just make an offer, and because I just feel like it'd be something that would really help you out and be an asset and a good tool of tracing at back some things that you got going on. Is there anybody close to you that has diabetes?
Yes.
Because, you know, I get the impression of circulation problems and stuff like that, which most people would say, well, diabetic, but I get more problems of changing diet and actually getting some supplementation. Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
with someone in my family or me?
Why is this freaking town light up when I'm on the air? Got sirens and all kinds of good stuff. Okay. I must be a magnet for everything, huh? What they should do is they should start taking some niacin, and the way it comes to me, they should definitely get the niacin. See, niacin, when you take niacin, it flushes the skin. You can definitely feel it.
Okay.
They have two types. You can get a non-flushing or a flushing. For some reason, when it comes to me, they should get the flushing one so they can actually see it working because their skin will turn red. And when you first start taking this, what it's doing is it's increasing your circulation. And I get that and also a B-complex. Okay? And then what was the other thing I saw? I keep seeing additives of B12, too, as well. Not a pill form, but a liquid. Something you put on your tongue. They have these liquids, and they have syringes in them.
I actually take one like that.
Okay. So is it you?
I'm not diabetic.
Okay.
But
I'm just saying.
My aunt is.
Okay. But don't you also have problems with sugar?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, sometimes when I say sugar comes to me in a lot of ways. Sometimes if I pick up someone who drinks too much, I'll pick up on sugar because people don't realize alcohol is actually a simple sugar. And then I have the other one was diabetics. And then the third one is people who really like sugar, like sweets, like I don't know, for some reason I get with you is chocolate and I get cupcakes. And...
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just saying, you know, they're saying that with the, and I always sit here and say this too, with hereditary, any kind of thing, I feel like it's hereditary thinking that people keep telling us things over and over again, and our body has a tendency to react to that whole thing. If we could just get some people to tell us the opposite first, but I'm just saying, you should also take the same kind of supplementation, but I keep getting, you should also add protein to your diet.
Okay.
Not meats. I'm talking about protein, because red meat seems to make you more aggressive. Kind of, mm-hmm. You already have a bad temper, and you don't want to add to that. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm just saying, with your situation of looking at that, I would take the supplementation too. I was also set to do some meditations and clear out everything. But the sugar thing, they're just saying the sugar thing. It's not because there's a diabetic in your family or people who have diabetes and that kind of stuff. What it's saying is you should just lay off the sugar, because the sugar is really bad for your heart, because it's some of the sugar you've been eating is abrasive. I don't know if that means anything, what that means. Do you understand what I'm talking about, being abrasive?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. And they're saying, don't cut cold turkey, but just start slacking off on it. What I did was, you start putting put protein in your diet, and you start supplementing, even if it's only a couple shakes a day, you don't have that urge. And it's like your body's trying to find something. And what it is, it's like sugar's easy. Protein is a little bit more difficult, but I just feel like if you start putting the protein, you could start out with one shake a week or one shake a day or whatever you're comfortable with, but it would curb that,
okay.
that attraction to sugar and stuff. Because I feel like sometimes you eat too much. Like you'll, I don't know, just for me, I feel like you're going to nail a whole box.
Yeah, that's right.
So to keep from doing that, I always tell people, listen to your guys and your angels, because they'll sit there and say, get the tuna. Not the little Debbies. But, so, you know, guides can really help you out a lot. So, because, I mean, I know for a fact I don't listen sometimes, too, and I wish I would have. You know, get a little, you eat too many freaking cookies or something like that, and you're like, God, what was I thinking? So take it one step further and go, okay, next time I'm guided to do something, follow through with that, because I feel like that's been happening a lot, too, where it's like, you can get the cakes, but something he's saying that you should supplement that with something else. And that's what I get. Sometimes okay. With the proteins and that kind of stuff, it can be a little expensive. But just try to find some kind of something that's equivalent to if you can't do it at first. Because I know, like I said before, budgets and sometimes protein. But every once in a while, Walmart has some really good specials. But and I always tell people, when you buy supplements or any kind of thing, you should really look into, might sound crazy, but I tell people, look into muscle magazines, because in the back they usually have supplement companies where you can actually save yourself between $25 and $30. Not a couple dollars, but 20 to flat, because you'll notice if you look in there, like for example, I'll give you one. It's bodybuilding.com. Now people say, ooh, that's, you know, bodybuilding, that kind of stuff. Well, they also have supplements, vitamins, and that kind of stuff, but they're a whole lot cheaper than going anywhere else. And what I say that for is because I've gone to Walmart and get the supplements, and they're little bottles, and they seem like $3 or $4 ain't too bad, until you go back every 3 or 4 days, and you're getting more and more, where you can actually find it on those places like that in quantity. And there's some good companies, too. So I'm just saying, check those out and that kind of thing, but you're definitely going the right direction. So definitely trust you and trust your intuition.
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. And please call us back and tell us how things go. Give us an update, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
You're right. Bye. Let's see here. I got a headache. let's see. No. Some people, you know, I wouldn't say it's people, really. It's just the situations and stuff. You definitely want to get it out there. Is it a right face?
Yeah, that's right.
How are you today? You seem like your energy is a little bit low today, huh?
Oh, just a little bit. I was having the itchies.
Gotcha.
Hey, I sent you some a small donation to your Colorado fund.
You did?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm not surprised you did. I'm just saying.
When do you feel you know you're going to be there? Give me a date.
Oh. Good question.
You never ask yourself that? Come on.
Well,
be your own patient.
No, I sat there and said, hey, I'm going to get there before June.
Okay, before June. This year?
Yes, this year. Yeah.
Did you state a year when you told the universe that?
Probably. I think I did. I think I was mad. I was sitting there going, did I really? I mean, it's like later on you're thinking about, why am I still here? And then again, people will say things like that and come to the realization going, oh, that's why. Because I said about a year. Because I was in Daytona. And I sit there and got a job at this one place. And I told everybody this because it's so cool. Because I was working for a day labor place. And it was funny, too, because we were sitting there talking to some people. And this one guy named Joe, most negative man I met in my life. I was sitting there. We're all sitting at this table. And I'm sitting there going. And you, basically what you do is you go in there and you got to sit there for like a week before they really see that you're serious, before they actually send you out on jobs. So we're sitting there, and every day I go in there, I got my spiritual books. I was actually reading the Super Beings book, all of my books. I'd go in there, I would read over them again and again and again. And I just want to keep myself positive while I'm sitting there, because I know for a fact that we tracked everything we got. So I was sitting there going, we're going to get out. And this guy was like, it was like a week before Christmas. And Joe was like, you know something? It's a week before Christmas. There ain't no freaking jobs out there. No one's going to hire us. I said, Joe, could you move over there with the negative people? Because over here, we're positive.
All right.
As soon as Joe walks over and sits down on the bench, the guy at the counter called my table. All three of us, three or four of us went right out the door. And I said, well, see you later, Joe. And Joe was like, what? What? And I said, told you, man. And everybody, and next thing you know, everybody wanted to sit at my table when I was way working. And or they wanted to read my books or something like that. So I was like, cool, man. But, you know, I went out there for 3 months, and all of a sudden it stopped. And I actually got another place to live, a whole lot cheaper. And all things started falling into place. I'm like, okay, now I have no job. What happened there? And something just told me to go inside, sit in my room, and read this one book, which I didn't realize at the moment. As I opened the book up, I was using a business card as a, you know, one of those, what do you call this, book?
Marker. Bookmarker.
Bookmarker, yeah, bookmarker. Uh-huh. I opened the book up, and this fell out my lap. It was a job agency that I had applied for, you know, like 3 or 4 months earlier, probably about 2 or 3 months earlier. And it fell right in my freaking lap, and somebody just came over me and said, you need to call these people. So I called them. I didn't have a phone either. I went to talk to my landlady and said, can I use your phone real quick? And she's like, I don't have many minutes. I'm like, well, if I call this number, I might have a job, so therefore you'll get your rent. Oh, okay, here you go. You know? So she hands me the phone, and I call the company, and about 20 minutes later, she came back up, and she's like, you got a phone call. I said, okay, hello. And they go, are you still interested in working for us? And it was that freaking place I had just called. And called me back,
wow.
And I had a job in an hour. And I was working that night. So I was like, listen to your intuitions. Trust me on that.
Yeah,
one.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of fell into place. But see, the one thing the reason I was sitting there telling that story was, I said I wanted to find a job for at least 6 months. Do you realize I was actually there 6 months before I got laid off? You need to really declare exactly what you want. And then when you start.
Oh, definitely.
Because something comes to tell me that your time's coming up and you better reaffirm it. And I didn't do it.
Yeah.
The next thing I know, things kind of fell apart. But, you know, the thing, too, also in that situation, too, it was like also pointing out people around me. People are really nice to you when you're working, you're bringing money in. But people really show their true colors when you don't have any money, because they start using that as a basis for being mean and I just call them spiteful. Because my landlord actually came in my apartment and actually took my weights, took my stuff, just took about everything you think of in the apartment. I came back. The only thing that was left in there was beds and the sheets, thank God. And she's like, well, you owe me money. I said, but you can't do that. And I said, you know something? I could actually take you to court and actually call the cops and say, you violated that freaking space, because till I move out of that space, realistically, it's mine.
Right.
But something comes up telling me, it was like going on for like 3 days, it said, you need to pack your bags up and hit the road. And I didn't want to hitchhike. I didn't want to do that. But for some reason, they came to me and says, just think about it, put it clearly to your head. Everything is safe. This is a safe planet as long as you think that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there and I said, okay. Basically told myself, I'm like, if I'm supposed to do this, the first person who picks me up as I'm hitchhiking will be somebody I work with. That I will know. That will be the sign that I know that this is the right thing to do, right? So I didn't realize how far it was to the highway. I had two bags. It was only 2 miles, but I said it was one of the longest 2 miles I've ever hiked in my life. And we're talking about Daytona, Florida, and you know.
Oh wow.
So it's 80 degrees. I'm heading down there. You know, Florida is basically a swamp of trees.
Right.
So I get down there. I finally get to the freaking highway. And sure enough, my first ride was some guy I used to work with at that same company. And he picked me up. He only took me about a mile or two. But my thing was, that was my sign that this is where
That's
I'm supposed
cool.
to go. So,
That's cool.
And then after that, I got rides 100, 200, 300 miles.
Wow.
And I was home in like 3 days.
Cool.
So, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, you know, the whole thing was every time I asked for something, that's what I was doing too. As I was going home, I was at each, every time I got dropped off, I started reaffirming it. Need a ride? Need a ride. And this time I'd like to have one for 3 hours. One ride in particular, I was sitting there focusing and people were beeping their horns at me and that kind of stuff. I hate being dropped off in a rich area. Seriously, people, like, they're driving by their little BMWs. Do you need a ride? Get your thumb hanging out. It's like, do you guys have any more important things to do than sit there and beep at me? You know, either pick me up or not, you know, at the road. I'm sitting there going, come on, angels, archangels, guides, you know, I'm sitting here. We've gotten this far. How can we stop right now, right? And they were like, and I said, I've been on the road for 2 days. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Love to lay down. Take a nap. The next ride I got was actually right behind me as I was bitching. He was a big old trucker, just pulled over. And I kind of looked at him and kind of wondered, because they always tell you truckers don't stop, but truckers have always stopped for me. So I run
yeah,
up to the freaking.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I rugged up the truck. And the guy goes, I've been waving to you, man. I was like, I just noticed you were there. Sorry. People were beeping at me. He's like, I was trying to make it to Louisville, Kentucky. And it was like, he says, I'm not going to Louisville tonight, but I'm stopping at a truck stop. And he says, you're more welcome to jump in the top bunk and take it, because I'm sleeping. You can sleep too. And I was like, isn't that kind of funny? I just asked. I was sort of saying, I'm tired. Love to lay down. I just want to get home. And I got a ride and a freaking place to sleep. And then when we got to the truck stop, the guy even bought me dinner.
Cool.
You open your mind to the possibilities of what could happen. Be amazed what
yeah.
I'm telling you. So, you know, that one came up, and then I think the most incredible ride I got was at the end of it, because as I was getting close to the end, I got into Ohio, I sit here and said, I need a ride to 70, which goes around Cincinnati, and this Spanish couple picked me up on the other side of Louisville, right? And they're saying, we're not going to Cincinnati. We're just going to Milton or something. I said, okay, no problem. Well, all of a sudden, they come on driving. Because they asked me, so where are you trying to go to? I said, I'm trying to make it to Cincinnati on the other side, close to 22. And they're like, really? I said, yeah. I am looking for this situation. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a couple. I just can't imagine these guys shooting me. So they kept on driving. You know, they actually drove almost an hour and a half out of the way to Cincinnati to drop me off on that offer him.
Cool. Wow.
And then the only ride I didn't like was, but it was a ride. So I'm sitting here going, okay, we got this far, God and angels. Now I need to get to 22. What's 22? It'll take me right home. Well, next thing I know, a cop pulls up. And he's like, he's not allowed to hitchhike on the highway. I'm going to have to give you a ticket.
Oh, come on.
I said, okay. And he's like, $65 for a ticket. But he said, I can give you a ride to the next ramp. Well, we get in the car. I'm sitting there going, God, I'd love to get dropped off in 22. Do you know this guy went about 5 miles out of his way and drop me off on 22. So I was like, I didn't like paying for the ride, but
yeah,
but
really?
You know, yeah. So that was a little bit different, but it
yeah.
You know, but it got me to 22, and then I got little rides here and there. And the last bike, it's kind of nippy ride because the guy pulls up as I'm trying to get home. He pulls up in his van and he goes, I can't take you anywhere, but I know it started raining, so here's an umbrella. I said, well, okay, thank you. I'm like, okay, I wonder how come he couldn't take me anywhere. Well, he came back later, and he was sitting there talking to me, and I was talking to him. He's like, I can give you a ride about a mile up the road. So we started driving up the road, and he starts talking to me, and he's like, where'd you say you lived at? I said, in Circleville. And he's like, oh, well, how far is that? It's about an hour and a half. And he's like, oh, heck, I can give you that ride up there. I asked the angels to give me a ride to my mom's back door. Do you know this guy dropped me off at my mom's back door?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So when you have this kind of things going on, those situations and stuff that happen, falling air, I mean, this is a prime example. I've asked for every one of those rides. Maybe I didn't like the one with the cop, but I got a ride to 22. Maybe I should have been more specific, you know.
And I always try to remember... this or something better for my highest good, because I don't want just anything, you know. I just don't want,
yeah.
You know, the universe filling any request, however they see it.
Yeah, it's like, here you go. I gave you an ideal, but there's something better than that. I'm all for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact, you know. Well, let's see.
Hey, can you answer me a quick question?
Sure.
Since I'm obviously going through my life lesson right now, and I can't do my money-making thing immediately right now, and I won't anytime ever, I'm giving that up. When do you see me starting to make money in the near now?
The near now? That's
the
new
near
one.
Now.
Is that yesterday or tomorrow?
Like
as near
tomorrow.
As now as you, yeah. I'm sorry. I just never heard. I've never really quite heard it put that way. So that kind of threw
well,
me off.
I don't like to say future, okay?
Oh, by the way, everybody wants to call and get a reading here. I'm sorry. The number is 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. So give us a call. Ask about anything you want. So give us a call on that thing, and we'll take care of that situation for you, too. So give us a call here. We'll be here. We still have 2 hours and 10 minutes left. So it's 12:49 a.m. here, Eastern, here in Ohio. This is April 24th, 2011. Psychic X Journeyman, and this is Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio, and we're talking to Faith on the line about the near future here.
Ah,
but if you want to, what?
The near
okay?
now.
The near now. We don't want it in the future. We want it now because, like we always said before, you never want to wish for something tomorrow because tomorrow never gets here. It always turns into today.
Right.
So as soon as it hits midnight, tomorrow's gone. And I always tell people flat out, if you want to do one thing to turn things around in your life, is to remember yesterday is gone. Period.
It's only a memory, right?
It's only a shadow.
Right.
We always notice that when we were younger, what do those shadows used to do? Bring out fears of things that wasn't there.
Yes.
So you let those go, then everything else should be a smooth ride. The situation is, I keep getting money-making things going on, and I keep seeing 2 weeks. But
2 weeks.
I don't feel like it's 2 weeks, like it's 2 weeks from now. I feel
okay.
It could be any time between today and 2 weeks.
Okay, that's fine.
But it's
okay
a contentious thing.
And, do you see what specifically it is?
No, I don't. Because I keep picking up on your wrist. I don't know. I just feel like we should all focus on and put send energy to you so you can actually heal that wrist of yours.
Thank you. And I was very, very fortunate. It's only a hairline, which, you know, is only a simple crack. So I feel like I'm already healed now anyway. So.
Awesome. That's good news.
Yeah, heck that yeah. is. The doctor said, you broke it right. Thank
is that really? Sometimes I don't like doctors. That's not a good analogy.
I know.
Break
yeah.
it right.
Yeah.
How about this? We didn't break it at all, did we? Come on, tell me.
No.
You just want that Medicare. That's what told
you. Oh, shit. I'm going to slap you.
I just want your money. So, yeah. The hair pairing crack, here's your bill.
Yeah.
So, you know, your foot's hanging off. Of course it's hanging off. You ever seen a foot that didn't hang? That's where they came up with the term in surfing. Hang ten. It's toes.
Yeah.
Doctors take an arm and a leg, and what do they give back? A couple toes? Come on. But, I got the two-week thing going on that time. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just going to ask you a general question for your listeners. Do you feel like a lot of them don't really realize the implications when you give your professional, like, past life regression readings, like how much it can really help clear their whole mind garbage that's going on with them?
I don't think so. I always like to reinforce that because the one story I like the most is an 8-year-old girl who had a fear of, she was claustrophobic, but they couldn't figure out why. She'd never been shut in a closet, nothing, no trauma, no nothing, until they were doing a regression. They just did a simple regression. In the process of doing this regression, she actually went back to 1897.
Uh-huh.
In the process of doing that, what happened was they found out what she was doing was she was focusing on that phobia. In the process of focusing on the phobia, it pulled her back to a lifetime that it would show her why she has that. And what they found out was she was buried alive in a coffin at that time, which that phobia followed her into the next life. When she realized that, she wasn't claustrophobic anymore. She realized.
In other words, she was giving it life by feeling it, right? By being afraid, she was breathing into it.
Yeah, she was. But then when she realized that the only life it had was because of the fear she had of it, and it didn't exist anymore, and it would never happen again, from that point on, she never had that fear, and she never had no problems with being enclosed. But also, I tell people in the process of doing this, do you realize this? What a kind of a world opens up to this woman of all the places she couldn't go before, and now she can go.
Now she can just like she's her true being, her true soul self now.
Yeah, now she can actually go on simple things like an elevator.
Yeah.
You know? And people don't realize claustrophobic. Even if you get really claustrophobic, even walking upstairs can be, it's a confined area, and that can be a problem too. Where you go up the stairs and it's like claustrophobia. It's like everything has a tendency to come in on you. So it doesn't matter where you're at. But elevators and those kind of places, especially box areas, can really freak you out. But, like we said before, the life regression she did and opened up the whole thing for her to realize it was just, like we said, like I do when I do regressions with people, when you go back and you're seeing the past, all you're doing is seeing shadows of what was. It doesn't exist anymore. What you're going back for is to realize that and to see it for yourself from a different perspective. So if you're looking at yourself like when you were 10 years old and you're 40 years old, you have a 40-year-old mentality looking at a 10-year-old who picked up that phobia. Now you can look at it and go, well, that's a 10-year-old thinking. Exactly. And you're able to let go of it. But you got to see. For some reason, we have those things where it's visual. And it works very good.
Now, would that help someone that, say, might have a, like when their parent or caretakers were alive, they had like maybe an alcoholic or a druggy parent or, you know, caretaker. Would that help open that up for the parent? In other words, I guess what I'm asking, simply put, is can a former parent who is now not upon this earth have spiritual powers over you to hold you down still to this day that you're alive?
Oh yeah.
Or is it just a mental thing? Can they physically like do things to hold you back?
I've actually seen the opposite, where someone had passed over, and the person, it was one situation where a wife, I think it was a wife, or anyway, what it was a spouse who had lost a spouse, and that the spouse that was still here was grieving so bad and had such a hold on that person, they couldn't pass over. They couldn't.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and then we've had situations where, like with houses, I mean, had a lady particularly where she couldn't sell her house, and we found out what happened was she was still attached to it until she cut those cords. And people think it's crazy, cutting cords, you can't see those cords. As soon as this lady cut those cords, do you know that she sold her house a week later?
Awesome. And you did that with past life regression?
Yeah, sometimes it's past life regression, and sometimes I've told people before, between a regression and a past life reading, a reading I can do anyway.
Past life reading, okay. Okay.
But regressions are where we actually sit with you and work with your angels and guides, and they take you back there. You go back to yourself. When we do reading, I can pick up on it for you. So like in this situation with the woman, we can sit there and talk to her and work with her and realize that she had cords still attached to the house. So that was another that was a visual thing of looking at those things and going, okay, you still have cords attached to you. If you cut those cords, you can sell the house, because she was so baffled. You know, the house, I'm selling it for cheaper. And then we sit here and say, okay. My friend, particularly in California, she came to me and she said, that's why I always tell people, don't listen to people who say, well, the economy says this, so you have to price your house back.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, my friend came to me and she said, I want to sell my house for $120,000.
Uh-huh.
And she said, my realtor keeps telling me I should lower the price so I can get someone to buy it. I said, Diana, all you need is one person to buy that house.
Exactly.
And I said, I want you to focus on $120,000. And she's like, yeah, sure. I said, I see $120,000. Cut loose all the cords of the house. Cut Lord's, you know, just open the possibilities here. I said, I guarantee you, if you focus on $120 and put it just like we've done before with other things and put it in the same perspective, because I know houses can be, people kind of freak out when it comes to houses and things that are big, because if the imagination, got to keep that thing going. But as soon as we open it up, she called me back a week later, and she's like, I'm glad I called you, because she said my realtor wanted me to lower the price, and I just sold my house for $120,000.
Cool.
So, you know, she was like, because she called me first, she goes, we have a buyer who's putting a bid in, and they're going to give me $120,000. I'm like, you found him. So just let it go and let it play out like it's going to. Because a lot of times we get these things that happen. We do get the buyer. We do get the situation that comes through if we want to. And then all of a sudden we start getting fearful and saying, well, if they don't follow all the way through? And then they don't. Because of the energy we put out there. So it's like I tell people right from that point on, you got the buyer. Just let everything else fall into place like it's supposed to, and let go of it completely right now. And when they do that, there was a technique that someone, I heard this the other day. I can't remember who it was. Somebody had on my show, I can't remember her name, so if she's listening, forgive me. But it was like one of the things she said, it was a technique where they took people on this manifestation thing, and they have a group of 10, and on the group of 10, they just had a visualization, and just basically say, let go, and just go out to the world, and let go. Visualize it, let it go, and go out in the world. But then they had another group where they did the same thing, but the only thing they added to it was they told them to go and wash their hands. Do you know the people who washed their hands actually manifested things quicker than the people who didn't? It was just another technique of going in there and saying, wash your hands. What do you do when you wash your hands? You're letting go.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that makes
exactly
sense.
What they did. So therefore, they're putting the two together, saying, okay, when you do that kind of thing, it's just a term of really manifesting things quicker. Is when are you ready to let go of it? To let it happen. I mean, shoot, I'd sit there and tell people manifesting bus rides in 5 minutes, because I went from asking to waiting. You know, I'm sitting there going, my bus, you know, my ride's going to be coming right around the corner now. There it is. Okay, cool, let's go.
So how do you open this up to people that aren't aware of past life readings and past life regressions, that they haven't a clue that, you know, this could help them? Do you, like, maybe sometimes in your readings get this feeling that, oh, this is what they need, past life regressions, or do they have to ask you, or what?
I usually get the impressions. and say, okay, what
you
need to do.
Usually can feel it.
Yeah, it's like you need to get a past life regression. Now, I won't sit here and say people haven't come to me and said, I have this funny feeling from what you said, and I need to get these regressions, and they've come forward too. But usually, and it's one of those things, I think a lot of us have to get to the point of, it's okay to ask, because doctors do, lawyers do. So, you know, the idea of
asking. Well, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Even the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So, I ask for everything.
Actually, you're helping them. You're not, you know, sucking them dry or anything. You're actually giving to them by asking.
Yeah, because it's like looking at people going, you know, there are people out there who do this kind of work who also have other things they do, so they have incomes coming in. And that kind of thing, so they can do that.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they feel better that way. That's why everything worked out the way it did. But there's other people who basically want to do this more, so the reason we charge a fee is so we can continue to do that to open up for more other people. I mean, same thing with the radio show. I pay for this. But, like I said before, pop in here. Free readings, come on. Free readings for everybody. But, you know, when I ask for donations, I'm just asking for donations on what you feel like, you know, if you want to give something to the show and that kind of stuff. It's not really asking for any kind of money for a reading. Because, I mean...
No. And you have expenses. I mean, and look at all the free readings that you give, and you don't charge anything. So,
yeah, I know.
You know.
Exactly. But like I said, when people come in here and says, well, okay, you know, I've had people come here and ask me now, how much is it for a reading?
Yeah.
I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those things that came up, and I was like, nope, nothing here. I've had people come to me, I've asked people to be guests on the show, who asked me, well, how much it costs? And I'm like, nothing. I said, you come on the show and stuff, and as a guest.
Your answer should be, how much are you willing to pay me? How much are you willing to donate?
Yeah, but you know, I've had a lot of people who just come on the show, and they're kind of like, Candy O'Donnell came on the show, and I haven't heard from her in a while, and I'm going to contact her myself, see what's up with her and how she's doing. But we was doing readings one night on my show, and she just kind of like sitting back, and she's like, man, I've never seen anybody do readings like you. I'm like, is that bad?
And yeah.
She goes, no, you just kind of like dive right into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's one of those things, you come to a point and say, hey, you're comfortable with it, you know what you're doing, that kind of stuff. When I do past life readings, a lot of times when I do past life readings, I'm already doing the reading before I even ask you that you need to get it, you know, extensive past life reading. So I'm already picking things up. It's just sometimes of people's past lives. I mean, if you were a hooker, do you really want everybody in the freaking world to know I was a hooker in a past life? No, you don't. I don't think so. So, you know, you like to sit there and say, I think you should call me, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's only, like I've told people before, you want to do a private reading? They're, you know, we can sit and work with you on the show. People have seen me work on the show. I mean, I don't push anybody. Well, I take my time with everybody.
No.
But, you know, when it comes to personal private readings, I mean, like I told the person, if you look on the site, it basically says to do an if you purchase a 60 to 90 minute session, it's $99 if you go through the website.
Right.
But you also get an angel card reading, a tarot card reading, and every session I do, that's probably the reason they were stretched out to between 60 and 90 minutes, because what you're going to get there.
And you give over and above what the main charges, simply because you are so accurate on the dot, and you're not trying to pretend to be anyone that you're not. You are true. You are true.
Yeah,
reader.
I get a kick out of that, because that last lady I talked to too, when I sat there and told her, I said, are you diabetic? And she says, no. I said, well, I pick up sugar with you. And she goes, I don't have any trouble with sugar. I said, I think you do. And I think, you know, I told her the reasons when I pick up sugar. When I sat there and told her, she had a tough time with chocolate cupcakes. Did you hear her?
well, you know, sometimes people, it's kind of like what I call the lost key syndrome. You know, when they're right underneath your nose, you don't see them because
mm-hmm.
it's so close, because you've been looking for too long.
Oh, I know, but it was kind of funny when she came forward and she's like, oh, yeah, I do have the cupcakes, and she kind of giggled. And I was like, okay, we got that one. And I think she was kind of like, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
That's kind of like detailed and going, okay, or like I had this one lady talk to her, and she was like, I'm not really sure. You're telling me this stuff, but I'm not really sure if I should believe it or not. I said, didn't you just cut your hair, and didn't you just also take your hair from light to dark? And she's like, oh, my God, yes, I just did that. Yeah. Okay, so do you believe the stuff I just told you now? That's what it's all, that's really what it's all about. It's like the angels and guides will come through and give me those things to give you more concrete to believe what we're actually telling you at that moment. So,
right.
You know, it's just the idea of learning how to listen to all those things that come through. And I'm saying, I'm just right now where it's like we're working as a team here, so why sit here and say we are talking or we are, you know, we think this and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of times I'll come through and I'll see things because what they're doing is they're bringing things to me from my own personal
uh-huh.
experiences. So therefore, I'll probably say, well, I think because what I'm seeing with that situation is a part of my life to bring to you. You know,
uh-huh.
I tell a lot of stories, but the reason I tell the stories is because that's what I'm guided to do at that moment, because I've had people come to me and say, well, I thought you were just bragging about yourself, and then a week later they come back and say, you know something? Now that story makes perfect sense because it just happened to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to do, Faith, is we do have a lot of people tonight.
Oh, cool.
So, if you're, you know, like
go
I
ahead.
Always say, you're more welcome to hang out. And I think
okay.
you give,
go ahead.
I think you get, yeah, because you give some great advice, too. I've seen that lately. So, let's see what...
and I love Wee Bree in the background. Wee Bree. Giggles.
Yeah,
I knew
Bree.
I'd start her motor.
Yeah. Hey, when she gets messages coming through, we'll definitely hear from her.
Bree, you need to start charging for your giggle services on these cartoon networks, right?
another business comes to Bree. So, I'm curious. Area code 323, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm fine tonight.
That's good. What's
yeah.
your name?
This is Camille calling from Northern California.
Camille? From there.
Yes.
Camille, oh, she almost said chameleon.
Almost, well, yeah. Camille, like the, it's an old, I believe, a Greta Garbo film and an Alexander Dumas novel.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm curious if anyone has any insights for me as to just what's up ahead for me in my personal or professional life.
Well, we have no more. Well, go on to the next caller. But I'm just kidding. So it's all relaxed and it's all go. That was pretty funny. I thought so anyway.
Yeah.
So you want some insights to your life with career first? Or something like you pick up?
Yes. Yeah, like, you know, it's me thinking about finances and things like that. That's the predominant, like, my right livelihood.
Mm-hmm. I keep getting the impression to stop focusing so much on finances and start focusing more on solutions, which I keep getting the arrows keep pointing back to me and saying, we're talking about her, but she's not listening.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. They are talking to you. Actually, with my arrow on my computer now, it's actually an angel.
Oh, okay.
And it was on you. It was actually, I was saying that. I was like, oh, that makes sense, because the angel is right at the end of your number here. And it's like,
oh, wow.
Getting you to listen. So it's like your angels all around you. Got tons of angels around you. The one thing I keep getting, too, because what we're talking about here is focusing on taking back your power. Now, if you want to focus on an angel, think about Archangel Raziel. Raziel.
Yeah.
That's R-A-Z-I-E-L. Because it's
yeah.
talking, it's focusing here and saying use your God-given powers and attentions to manifest blessings in your life. And also realize that by focusing on the blessings in your life, don't forget the biggest blessing that actually created those miracles to happen in the first place, which is actually you.
Okay,
so think about that, and then look at the situation from the realization of that as a spiritual growth. Okay?
Yes.
Do you have two children?
No, I do not. I do not have any children.
Well, it's a two children. It's like a very close two children to you as well. So I keep getting over there. Brother.
Is it in spirit or? Oh no, I am. I'm an only child. However, my mother, she gave birth to a baby girl about 8 years before I was born, but the baby died shortly after birth.
Yeah, I still feel like that she had a miscarriage somewhere along there, too. I keep getting a boy.
I think she did. Yeah, she did. Something else happened after I was born, but I'm, you know, I was the only one who survived.
Okay, because I get one right after you.
Yes.
So I keep getting children and boys and a boy. I definitely get a boy, okay? And the one thing I would sit and say with you is the ideal presence with you all the time. Always guiding you and pushing you and also but almost like stimulating your aggressive side.
Really? Now, that's interesting because when I remember maybe 21 years ago, the eve of my 8th grade Catholic school graduation, I did have a visitation from the people who would be my sister and brother. And they were the age they would have been had they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so.
Okay, describe it. Yeah. So these people came to you?
Yeah, they came to me in a dream on the eve before my 8th grade graduation. And they came to me the age they would have been had they lived. So if it was 1990, maybe my sister would have been 22 years old. And maybe my brother would have been, if I was 13, he lived maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah, these definitely come as angel spiritual children.
Okay.
You know, kind of a mystic kind of thing. So, yeah. And they came as two. So that was interesting with the idea of the dream itself. So, yeah, I definitely have the card for two. And I just feel like I get the impression with the surrender releasing a lot of things around you right now, too. And things will be able to emerge a little quicker for you. Because I feel like what I keep getting is the ideal relationship harmony, but not in a relationship, but more with yourself.
Okay.
Having faith in oneself of surrender and releasing. And I'll put it to you like this. We sit and look at the cards themselves. When you look at the cards, like surrender and release, it's like we have a tendency in this card, the lady's hanging onto a vase. When I see a person in that kind of situation and the angels, because it shows in the background angel wings, and there's a circle around the person in the background, which means the idea of the cycle that you're going through right now. What's holding me back? What's blocking me? If you even look at the picture itself, you'll see that the circle is incomplete. But it's not incomplete. It's actually complete. There's just things in the way. Focus. To get past those things, the vase, like I said before, the vase is also leaking. It has water in it, sand, whatever. It's leaking. But see, the one thing is the picture of the person in the picture has long, dark hair.
Okay.
Does this reflect you in any kind of sense of the word? I feel like it does.
Yes, it does. It does. Yes.
So it says if you look forward, you know, and let go of the vase, because it's like materialistic things are actually holding you back. And start focusing more on the spiritual side of yourself. But we're also talking about focusing on balance between the two, you know?
Oh, yes. That makes sense. I'm doing that now, yes.
Right. So you do that, things are definitely emerging, and a lot of things are going on. And I really feel like the theme for the night is the idea of follow one's heart on exactly what they want to do. Because with my, we'll put it to you like this. When I had, I would sit here and say that Archangel Uriel is giving you the strength to follow through with what you know you need to do. Because we keep getting a hands-up, brilliant ideal, so please follow through with it. Please take action to bring your ideal into fruition.
Okay?
We can sit here and say what it is or what it's not, but it seems like the most important thing here is the action.
Right.
Gifts from God, doesn't matter what they are, and basically put it in perspective here, they all are. So are you. So that can be vague in an answer in itself. But the one thing I got the most was the ideal Uriel's coming across saying, pay attention to thoughts and ideals that come to you. These are answered prayers.
Okay.
It says clairvoyancy is basically, you know, they're helping you to awaken your sight, awaken you fully so you can clearly hear. And, well, hold on. So you can clearly see. Okay. When people say you can clearly see heaven's love, it's the ideal of the opportunities that are being presented to you. Okay, when we sit there and look at the situation, like I was looking at this card, Career Transition. On Career Transition, it's Archangel Chamel, which is the angel of love. And some people have asked me the question, why would you find the Archangel of Love on a Career Transition card? Because it's
right.
Basically focusing on your life purpose. But usually your life purpose is going to be something that you love to do. And it's going to really make you love yourself even more because you feel like you are contributing and you're giving back and that's your service to the world. So you definitely see a lot of, you see all these new beginnings happening for you. And the Career Transition card is just saying, Archangel Chamel, the angel of love is with you. But there's also the situation of relationships and that kind of stuff. Like I'm not clear on relationships right now with the situation that you're in.
I have been seeing someone for just over 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and someone who I've known for over 1 year. We started seeing each other about right before the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Middle of March.
Yeah, just right like March 11th, I believe, the day we started seeing each other. Mm-hmm. And we've been spending a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite enjoyable, yeah.
Right. Well, that's good, because, you know, sitting with the situation, I'm just saying, I'm sitting and looking at situations for what they are, and I'm sitting and saying, okay, what do you feel, what's going on, what's up with this whole thing?
Mm.
Do you really see something that could actually be more?
You're hard to hear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're on a speaker.
Oh, that's
okay,
what it is.
Sorry. It's just, No, I was just saying with the situation of looking at the relationship for what it is and that kind of stuff. If there's any questions about the whole thing, those should really be really taken consideration.
Okay. Well, right now I see what you were saying before about me, the proper balance between the material and the spiritual. I feel myself doing that, and one of the main things I'm doing is clearing out the clutter. Literally and figuratively, I'm throwing things away, I'm recycling things,
mm-hmm.
I'm finding a new use for things that I'm holding on to, and then other things that are still in awesome condition, I am giving them away or I am selling things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really releasing things that I no longer need in my life and really finding good use for the things that I do need. And my new friend comes during a time of what I feel is a healing transformation for myself. And
mm-hmm.
with his help, indirectly, he has stimulated changes in me, like some baggage I was still holding on to from my mother and grandmother. A situation happened, and I reacted to something that he said, not malicious, but just something that helped me to, I went
mm-hmm.
back to this place, something my grandmother had said, and then, you know, I would not have identified and released whatever that emotional thing was had it not been from this person's influence.
Okay.
Myself growing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just saying with the situation, and some people, I guess we should put in perspective what a soulmate relationship is, because a lot of times we sit here and say soulmate relationships are for learning experiences. So people think it's, you know, sometimes it's a bad thing, and you're going to learn stuff and like that and realize, you know, something about yourself, move on to actually find the person you're supposed to be with. But sometimes soulmates can actually turn into being more.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the ideal, especially when a situation like this, of learning from each other. And if it doesn't really take off to be like a, you know, one of those great romances in your life, there's nothing wrong with having great friendships either.
Right.
And that's the one thing
that
we get a lot here. So,
okay.
And see, the one thing I was getting, so, because I really feel like I don't, how do I put this? In some sense of the word, I'm looking at the relationship going, I don't know if it's him or not, but I just feel like in the sense of this thing in another month, it's, you keep getting new love. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
So you definitely get an impression here that if you are looking at this relationship and you're not really sure about where it's going to go, I get the impression next month it's going to basically not verbally, but I get the impression about a lot of things being declared.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the situation going, is that could be the idea where a new love could actually indicate the relationship that you're already in takes off.
Right, right.
And, you know, the more I get that whole thing and I look at the situation of a life review and life experiences that you guys are going through and that kind of stuff, you definitely see a really strong foundation here. I feel like the guy I feel like this guy you're talking about really has helped you out a lot, too. I feel like you've helped him out, too. But I still feel like he's still emerging.
I can see that. I can see that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a lot. There are many things that I take responsibility for, the changes that I am making. And I also hear him say things that he would like to change about himself. And I know that is his process. I can sit and bear witness, whatever he decides to do, but I am in no way trying to force him to do anything, because you have to be ready to do those things.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the cards and I'm going, friendship and passion. Mm. Now, the friendship is the angels. The passion is Archangel Hanel again, where it says, you guys have come together and helped each other out to trust and follow your renewed passion and your love life and your career.
Okay.
And it,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and then we'll go with the other one. It says, the difficulties are behind you, but also learn from these difficulties that you've gone through, so this time you don't have to go through them.
Oh, yes.
So this
yeah,
here, Archangel, we got Archangel Sandalphon, who says, your prayers have been heard. They've been answered. You just have to have faith. You almost get the impression everything's already been set in motion. Just got to go through the motions.
Interesting. Okay.
Take
that
the
makes
oars.
Sense.
Take the oars and throw them in the river.
Okay.
And just just go with the river. Because if you know something about the river, it's always going forward.
Okay.
And I've also noticed this too, guys. Even when a river has no water in it, everybody distinctly always goes in the right direction.
Okay.
Yeah, so you see, even when the things seem like they're dry, you're still going forward, and you're going to find that flow and that water and that solution. So you just got to keep walking forward. I've seen this. Every time someone goes into a riverbed, they always go one direction. Instinctively we know which way to go. So therefore, I think what's going on is that's our part that's always attached or always linked to spiritual guidance. So therefore, we just need to learn to accept that and also open up to the possibility then we can hear it besides just feel it and see
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that to freaking light, because you know something? I didn't know that until I just told you.
Wow. Wow.
So angels
well,
and the guys.
We learned something together.
Yeah. Yeah, one day I was sitting there talking to somebody about crystals, and I just told her, I said, you need to take crystals, get you some big crystal, get you those clear crystal quartz, crystals.
Yeah.
And then take those crystals, wrap them, put them around you in a circle, and use a meditation to pull the energy out of your environment and use the crystals as a focus point, but also as a source to make a force field around yourself. This will block. It's one of those things people go, well, you know, it's going to keep things out like, you know, what, baseballs and stuff. No, it's a force field. It's a small one. It's basically generated from your body energy and the energy in the environment to protect you while you're meditating. It doesn't need to protect you from baseballs unless you're meditating in the middle of a baseball field. You know?
Right.
What you're trying to do is protect yourself from the outer world so you can actually get things clearly. And once you get that, seriously, when you do certain techniques to actually get that point where you can actually hear things clearly, when you start doing it after a period of time, it doesn't matter where you're at. You've already heard it, so you know what to pay attention to.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because in this moment, I moved from Southern California to Northern California. It'll be 4 years in early May. And I had family up here, but not really close. So in order to reinvent myself and start to establish myself here in this community, I started going out to eat or go to the local pub or bar or whatever. And in the process, you know, meeting all these different people, some people who are really friendly and made me feel so welcome, and then I met other people who were, like, competitive or insecure or just really nasty to me. And lately, it had been, I'd say the past 6 months, I was meeting more of the competitive, insecure, nasty people who, you know, misery loves company type of thing. And it was really starting to wear on me and bring me down. And I'd say since, I think all of March, I made the decision to just withdraw from that, from going out. Like, I only went out when I needed to, just because I knew I needed to, like, get away from the critic and the voice and focus on myself and do the things that I needed to do to bring things back into balance for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I kind of, I didn't really become a hermit, but okay, almost. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things you just kind of go over the whole thing and.
Am I headed in the right direction?
Yeah, you're definitely heading in the right direction.
Oh, good.
Because I was about to say before, I saw the call of victory, which says your prayer has been heard, answered, have faith, which means everything's been, and that's why I got the message, was the idea of things being laid down. It's already been laid down.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Good, because I can and I will accept that. It's just, you know, having that, learning to have that faith, like you said before.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things I'm like, okay, calm down. And despite evidence to the contrary, you know, like learning how to relax and go with the flow and be flexible.
Yeah, sometimes it can be hard.
Yeah, Camille. I'm learning.
Camille, may I share something?
Yes.
This is Faith. Just keep trusting your inner soul power. You are a strong being. And don't let anybody stop you or slow you down, because you have it.
Thank you.
I know that. You can feel it, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Wear them out with it.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much. I just needed that reassurance.
You are very welcome, because you are most deserving.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, you two.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just kind of checking out the chat room and some clutter and some conversations going on there.
Oh,
I booted some people out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it got bad.
But thank you so much, all of you.
Oh, you're welcome, and you have a great night. And I want to tell everybody who gets booted out of the freaking chat room, out of the chat room, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Bree's very intuitive. So you can say one thing or the other, but I'm pretty sure she had a good reason for what she did. So therefore,
good.
I'm not going to undo what she's done. I'm pretty sure she had a good reason for what she did. That's why she's there. For a lot of good reasons. She's really good at her job. So we just found out. So... So that means she got...
Okay.
I'm just saying, with the situation and stuff like that, I just want to make everything clear that she, you know, Bree has that position for a reason, so therefore I'm definitely going to trust her on her decisions and back her up 100%. So, on that note...
Thanks.
You're welcome. So we're going to sit there and go over some things here, and anything else you want to ask us before you go?
No, that's it. Just... You know, want to make sure that I'm headed in the right direction, that I am going, moving forward, moving on, moving up, and that I will not only survive, but thrive.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like we all sit here and say this before, and it's a perfect example of any time you start worrying or focusing on those things you're worrying about, we do notice that things have a tendency to slow down, or they have a tendency to stop.
Yes.
So sometimes, you know, just got to do a nice clearing and let it go. And I do a meditation from time to time where I just kind of like focus on that little pilot light behind my heart and keep focusing as my head down, and I keep saying to myself, I am love, I am love. So therefore, I love myself, but I'm also radiating that to everybody else too. So that's the key to actually being successful, I think. Because love will always bring you exactly what you need. Not just a mate, but the angel of unconditional love and freedom. You love everyone and everything unconditionally. It seems to open the door for you and your eyes to see things for what they are. So if you're with somebody, and at that moment you realize that you're not supposed to be, you can still be an unconditionally loving person, to let that person go because you know you're destined for somebody else, but also that person on the other side is too as well. So it's easy to detach and move on and let everybody else go their way. But also the same thing too, when you love the process, what you're going through, and love your life, and you're opening up the doors and the windows to all the opportunities that were meant for you in the first place. It's always when we start getting critical of ourselves that we start shutting those. And that's what we feel, I think, you know. So we have to open them up. So love.
Oh, yeah.
Because the angel of loving relationships. Now, if you notice what it says, the angel of loving relationships. It doesn't classify as romantic, and there is no angel of romantic love. As in, per se, it's just that one. Because, you know, a lady called me the other day, and she was talking to me. She goes, there's this guy I'm still involved with. Should we be together? And I said, no, you should move on. She goes, well, then why do I still love him? I said, aren't we supposed to love everyone and everything unconditionally?
Oh, of course.
Yes. Of course. So, therefore, to sit there and ask me a question, I'm not saying anything bad about her. I'm just saying to help people understand. And if you still love somebody, if you really do a life review of your life, you probably still love everybody. And maybe sometimes that one person that really made you angry, maybe the reason you're still angry about the whole thing is because you still do love him. But you realize it didn't work, and you are here right you're at. But you are
That's
a loving
true.
Person, so therefore it makes perfect sense why you still love those people.
That is so true. Oh, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, you know, when you look at the situations, when you can realistically, if you want to have an emotional attachment to somebody, make it loving. But
I agree.
But I don't think we should attach ourselves to anybody, because in the process of attaching ourselves to people, that's a insecurity and a fear within ourselves that we won't have it, so we got to hang on to it. So have faith in yourself and let the person who's with you grow as much as you are.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, but that was all I have.
No, but it makes sense.
Yeah, so we just open up and just say, okay, what's going to happen today? Who knows? But just have that anticipation. It's going to be good, and it will.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, anybody else have anything else to say before she leaves? Well.
No.
Okay.
I think that very clearly.
Okay, good.
What they're saying to you right now is you should take at least 60 seconds of meditation and clear your mind. So we'll clarify for you. One thing I would sit there and say, and I for some reason it came to me real quickly, is, you know, no matter what situation you're in, no matter where you're at, if you need to take 10 minutes or 2 minutes or whatever it is, just breathe. And take the time to do so.
Alrighty.
I have a quick tip for meditation for those who are not, you know, have not used it as an exercise on a like daily basis, is when you first start meditating, you know, you have to get in that relaxed state. And so when you first start off, very first begin, you think of a freight train. So when you have these thoughts of, oh, what am I going to cook for dinner or whatever, you throw it in the part of the freight train and it just moves on and you release that.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, but also remember, you know, like your eyelids. There's also muscles in your head and your skull, and just try to the muscles that you don't think about. Try to relax those too. Your eyelids, your tongue, your eye muscles. You know, just try to relax everything you can think of, and get to that state of being really relaxed. And then do, because I tell people all the time, if you have trouble meditating or just contemplating the whole thing, just simply do some intentional breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple things like that. And then I've seen people who start doing those things, curiosity kicks in, and what else can I do? So let it go. Let that creative mind of yours take you where you need to go. Yeah, and then you'll find those books and techniques and that kind of stuff. But I always tell people, don't get caught up in the mechanics. You know, as you're doing these techniques and that kind of stuff, feel it. If it's not working with you and you don't feel nothing, maybe it's the ideal of keep going. And sure, we have a lot of things that cross our paths, and people go, well, shouldn't you use your intuition to keep missing those things that don't work? Well, sometimes maybe your guides and your angels will lead you somewhere that doesn't work for you, so therefore you can see it clearly enough to find the one that does.
Okay.
Everything happens for a reason. And when you start looking at those, yeah, when you start really looking at that, then you start seeing things clearly. Like I've always said before, the one thing about working this kind of, doing this kind of work and that stuff, the one thing that happens every day is the confirmation that God does exist.
Oh yes, oh yeah, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
This was very insightful. Okay. Wow.
Tell all your friends.
Yeah, I've got a few friends who do listen to your program periodically. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. We'd love to hear from each one of those guys. And like I said before, too, you know, please come back and give us an update, too, on what's going on. Because I always tell people, sometimes things don't really... You see, you predict things, you see things happening, but sometimes they just don't happen quite that way. There's nothing wrong with calling somebody back to find out, because if someone can actually really tell you why, because a lot of people freak out, why did this happen? Oh, I don't know. Because they don't know who you are. You know.
That's true.
But when you sit there, I've told people before, just come back and see what happened. I mean, because you know for a fact that when you deal with people, and as I call them, human beings, the people who really focus on that, because I was talking about this the other day, where we were talking about serial killers and people who do that kind of thing. Those are people who really focus on the physical, because they're not getting their physical needs met, so they do things, okay? But there's also other people on the spiritual side that think they're spiritual, we'll put it that way, that have a tendency to give everything away, and they do this thing, and they constantly talk it to you, and they're not living it. That's also an imbalance, too, as well. It's the ones I talk about before that you can tell the most, who will just walk into a room, they don't have to tell you nothing. They're just content, happy, and you can see it. And that's the difference between, because we've always had dualities on this planet. So you have people who talk it, and we got other people who do it. And the same thing with doctors and that kind of stuff. You can tell when they do their little thing, what they're actually really out for, you can feel that. Like, you know, this guy's sitting there going, he walks up and he says, I think you need to get this surgery done. And all you can see in his eyes is dollar signs. So you don't really feel like he's doing it for your best interest. He's doing it for his best interest. So you should question
him. Yeah.
Because right now we have too many things out there that do it for us, and then we've kind of forgotten how to feel. So we need to step away from the thing and go, okay, you know, the idea of listening to somebody, sometimes people can't do that. I mean, I had an ex-fiancée like that, too, didn't want to listen to nothing like that. I said, I know she used to listen when I used to call on the phones. I was almost tempted, because we had two cell phones. I was almost tempted to call her and say, okay, can you listen to me now, since we're talking the phone? So let's see if we can do that. Right. But, you know, it's like a catch-22. You really want, you know, we're trying to build communication as in the you know, this, I guess you would say the spiritual, balancing the human and the spiritual, where we're communicating each other how we feel, our needs and wants and that kind of stuff, without going through kind of some kind of mechanical electronic device, when we could actually get back to where we was. Because on Tuesdays, that's what we talk about. We talk about Atlantis. For a reason, I talk about Atlantis on Tuesdays, to give people an idea of the ideal of Atlantis was high in technology, but not in the sense of cell phones and television, that kind of stuff, because of using the idea of our intellect and our abilities, where we don't need cell phones because we can communicate with each other telepathically.
That is true.
Yeah, and televisions don't need no televisions because we realize that our creative imagination and our creativity was a whole lot more entertaining than watching somebody else do it for us.
Yes, I understand what you mean there.
Yeah, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love watching movies, and the people that I call, the people I like watching where I get lost in a movie, are those people I call, those are really high in their profession, because I don't see them as actors. They take on those parts. So that's the difference between an actor and a person who can act.
Okay.
Camille, I have a quick request from you, and only if you feel it from your heart, but just since you're a positive spiritual being, could you just send a blessing to Donnie's Colorado fund so he will be there by June of this year?
How do I do that?
You just send out the blessing to him.
Yeah, you
spiritually.
Just send me a...
Yeah, spiritually. Well, God bless Donnie.
Thank you.
Yes. God bless
the more the merrier, the more the more powerful.
I was going to sit there and say, could you send a plane ticket to Arizona? No.
I can send like a creative, something on the creative or spiritual plane. You can reach him on the astral plane.
Hey, whatever you want, whatever. You know, blessings are blessings. I take them if it's energy or if it's, you know, like I've told people before, people have actually worked on my websites and that kind of stuff. Any kind of blessings are blessings. And so I think it's why it's so great to even be where I'm at right now and to have the avenue that I have to be and broadcast out to. So if that's the way you choose to do it, I'm pretty sure it's one of those things you've been guided to because the angels feel like that. Best way to bless through. You can see the avenue.
Hopefully he can inspire the change needed to facilitate this change.
Exactly.
Sooner
like
or later.
Oh, man, that's cool.
You know?
I'll be waiting. So send that energy so I can actually work on my shots to hurt. But,
oh, yeah. Wow.
No, I've been working my butt off. So...
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the people I have met since I made this move, like I made this move because I had always wanted to live in this region of the state. And I meditated on that. It took me about 6 years until I made one final trip up here. And as soon as I got off the train, people kept saying, when you move here, when you move here. They looked at me as if I were already a resident. And I didn't understand it until a few weeks later when I got back home at the time. And I had, you know, fever. I woke up from this fever dream speaking aloud the name of the place where I had moved to, where I eventually moved to. And I didn't understand what this was, what it meant, until about 6 weeks later when I got this opportunity to move, and then it all clicked into place that I would be moving here to the place I had dreamed of, specifically to this city and to this house. And I had all this opposition, so much opposition from, like, old friends and family and neighbors. And they didn't trust my own judgment on what I had planned. But I pressed on, and it was easy for me to get here. And then once I got here, I started meeting people, not everybody, but, you know, just some of the people I have met have been very materialistic and very, like, they don't understand. They claim not to understand me and claim not to trust why I am here, and they need to try and make it like I'm doing something wrong. And it's the weirdest thing. I have never experienced that before. But then again, when the place where I grew up, that I lived my whole life until I moved here, if I went out, it was out of necessity. I didn't always go out like I do now. I have the courage and the confidence to take myself out. It does not trouble me at all to go out and treat myself to a dinner or a drink and like to travel alone. That doesn't bother me. And mm-hmm. so now, because I'm doing that, I'm meeting more and more people. But it's just so weird, the people I'm meeting who are just like, you know, I don't understand you. I don't believe in you. I don't have any faith in you. You must be doing something wrong. I want you to leave. I want you to get out of this place. Well, why? What is your motivation? And it's really strange. I've been really putting that into perspective for myself the past few days.
Right.
And adopting a belief that this is where I choose to be. And this mm-hmm. is where I am really, it's almost like a finishing school where I am totally undergoing a healing transformation. And I can't let anyone take that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so weird, the responses I'm getting. And, like, I don't understand why that is. Like, if I'm an upbeat, optimistic, positive person,
mm-hmm.
how come I have to meet kind of like the dregs sometimes?
Because people are attracted to the light, no matter how much darkness they're in.
Yeah, must be. Must be.
Plus, you got to look at the situation, too, where you live at right now, because it's like you used to live there before. Could be a past life connection or whatever, but the people that are around you who accept you are the ones that you've probably lived in a lifetime with before.
Okay.
And the people who don't are the ones who shouldn't be there.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, so it's like one of the situations, you know, people are going, and we look at life and we look at situations and people who just live their days, you know, day by day and don't really do anything. They're still a blessing to people in their lives. They just don't do it on a greater scan, you know, like some people do. But it doesn't make them any worse than everybody else. But then there's other people who are still on their life's path of doing other things. Could be just simply going through the dread to hopefully find themselves one day and realize they don't have to do that. Because I've seen this before, too. I've sort of worked with people, and they have a tendency to, they want to attract soulmates, so they can punish themselves because they feel like they did something wrong. So they will intentionally attract certain people into their lives to go through learning lessons they really don't need to. It's more of a punishment.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like talking. So we have people who do that. Some of them realize it too. And they have a tendency to take out on other people. I made a mistake.
Yes,
someone. Someone will beat you up.
Yes. And luckily, this is the exception and not the rule, but it's one of those things where
mm-hmm.
it becomes like negative programming when you go out. That's exactly why I chose to kind of withdraw for about 4 weeks. Because once you hear it by rote, it's just like it starts to sink in. And I'm like, I didn't move here to fight with anyone. And I know that I am deserving and I am not doing anything wrong. But when to have to keep hearing people like, you know, I own my home and one of my neighbors, we used to meet at a local pub. Well, I don't know if he was insecure about his own situation or what, but he looked at me as if he could not believe that I could have this. And so he confronted me, well, do you rent that house or are you renting a room? But how come you can't believe that I can have a place just like you?
Hmm.
Yeah, it was very
yeah, I know.
Painful and hurtful. Yeah.
Yes, but you got to sit there and let life play itself out. Because, I mean, I was working at a mall when I lived in Maryland on the landscaping crew, working with this one guy, and I had a couple tough times where I had to get on this thing in Ohio called, at that time it was called GR, which is general relief. It's for single people who have, you know, trouble and that kind of thing. So I got most of my landscaping skills from working there, working out at the fairgrounds, doing a lot of landscaping and that kind of stuff. So I went there. And I went to work for that mall because I had those skills. Well, it seemed like this guy I was working with, my boss, he from the time he, because he said, I called your job references and stuff. He goes, what is this GR thing? I told him what it was and that kind of stuff. And I said, but I worked out there and did a lot of things and learned a lot of things from the whole place. And I just felt like in some ways the guy was jealous because I had those skills and I didn't go to college to get him. He went through like 5 or 6 years of college. And
wow.
So he gave me a hard time constantly on my ass about everything. Boom, boom, boom. You're not going fast enough. And it got to the point where I didn't know what else to do because I was almost to the point of running and doing these things he asked me to do, trying to make a good impression. And then after about 3 months probation, he took me in the office and he goes, you know, you're not doing good at all. You know, you need to improve on this and this and this. So I'll give you an extra month. So what he did was I'll put you on the cleaning crew on the outside and see how you work out. Well, then he actually took over that crew too. I think he took over
that
crew just for the point of doing that whole thing. So a month later, I mean, I did everything. You know, he said you should improve on this and this. I improved on everything he told me to do. After a month, I thought I'd go in there and he'd give me a good review. He looked at me and he says, you're doing worse than you was before. I'm sitting there going, where's the paper at? I'll sign the paper now. Because I think it was also another position. It was a question he asked me one too while I was working there. He goes, so work, you know, what's your objective of working here? What do you want to do? Where do you see yourself at, you know? I said, well, I want your job. And I told him that. But I looked at him, I said, I'm trying to explain to him. I said, what I'm saying is I want a position like yours. It wasn't like, per se, your job. Well, for some reason, he took that kind of to heart. And like I said, after that month, he said, hit the road. You know, you're not working out. Well, in the process of leaving there, my friend came to me I used to work out with and said, hey, there's a GNC in the same mall. This is a GNC store who's looking for a manager. Yeah, who's looking for a manager. And I said, oh, really? He said, why don't you pop in there? I did. And I got that job. So I loved this too, man. It was almost like, I call this, you know, this is justice, poetic justice, right? Because this guy comes to the store. He sees me working in there. He comes in there and he said, oh, what do you do here? And I said, I'm the manager. Can I help you? And the indirectly, he helped me to manifest that position.
Wow.
I was a boss, just like he was. I ran, and I walked into that position. I wasn't a manager trainee. I wasn't an assistant manager. I was the manager. Walked right into the whole thing. And,
that's awesome.
It was great to sit there and go, because he came and asked me over, and he says, no, you're assistant manager, right? And I said, nope, I'm the manager. Can I help you? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? And he was just, I think I just wanted to keep saying it to him over and over again. I am the manager, just like you are.
That's great.
So I'm just saying, you know, put it out there in the universe, and you'll see what amazing things will happen. Because I mean, when I sit here, one thing I like about this too, when I sit here and tell people this stuff, it kind of amazes me to look back on my life to sit here and say thank you. Those were actually great moments that I just didn't realize until I passed them on to somebody else.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like use whatever adversity to. Kind of like a clam and the pearl, or the oyster and the pearl, the grit that makes the pearl type of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that's exactly how I feel here sometimes, and I'm here. I am not feeling in my spirit that I am being asked to leave this place. I don't feel that. Like, I came here, and, you know, of course I'm still, like, getting everything, like, it's been 4 years, I'm still putting things the way that I want them and throwing things away and setting stronger boundaries so that I can avoid these types of associations. And, like, I can't help how people react to me. But I am in a stronger position to be able to say, no, I don't have to listen to you. Like, you can say whatever, but I don't have to be here listening to you. And I really appreciate this opportunity to be here. And I want to continue to grow in every way and to expand in every way in this place where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
When people say certain things, it's just just best to use it as motivation to even propel you even further. Because, I mean, there's been a couple of times where people say, hey, you know, you can't do that. And then I go and do it anyway.
So, oh, of
course. You know, the first, I mean, when I got that house in Florida, that four bedroom, two bath, I mean, I was like, I was almost fixing to do an Indian dance too. I took a bit seriously. I mean, we can sit here and say it took about 6 months to get the money, but to actually put myself in the position for the house, that was like 4 days.
Wow, yeah. That's
so
great.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, we can sit here and look at the situation. I'm just trying to give people examples and say, okay, can I do this? I was at the same place most people are too when they were sitting there trying to figure, can I do this? But I guarantee you, the first time you really put your efforts into the whole thing and it happens, then you start thinking about what you can do instead of what you can't do.
Okay, yes. 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 And that's exactly why I decided to hold back and not go out in too much company, because I needed to put my things back, myself back into perspective and reclaim whatever dreams and goals that I had in mind, whatever my original vision was, and how can I change that if I need to? How can I redefine that without hearing the voice of anybody else saying, you can't do that, and these are the reasons why I am telling you you can't do that? I mean, that's just ridiculous. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
that's
most definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I'm like, I think if anything is happening, it's for me to figure out and slow down and figure it out.
Absorb it all.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Makes sense. Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You have a fantastic, I guess it's morning, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, and it's Happy Easter for those who celebrate.
Thank you, I do.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you have a fantastic day yourself, okay?
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Okay, bunny.
It's the singing bunny.
Oh, please. Oh,
no. It's the singing bunny. He's what, you know, it's just, well, some people are singing bunnies, but they only want money. I just want to go out on Sunday where it's sunny. And just for someone to give me back something, you know, and call somebody honey. That's my bunny.
Okay. Let's be specific. Remember our requests?
Well,
you don't want just any honey, right? You don't want a bear.
No. But I don't want a bear, but I'd like to have a bear hug. There you go.
okay.
I like bear hugs. People just hug the stuff. Because we call that hugging the stuffings out of you.
Okay.
I give those too. My daughters are always saying, I need to breathe. Okay, sorry. I haven't seen you in a while. But, you know. But, yeah, my youngest daughter, she was one of those kids that I used to, when she was young, I used to kiss her all over her face. And that's what I told her. I said, I love you, love you, love you. I kiss her all over her face. And then she was about 10, and she came over to visit me. And I said, I love you. And I gave her a hug. And she's like, you must not really love me. And I said, what would you say that for? And she goes, because you didn't kiss me all over my face. So I walked over to her and kissed her all over her face, and she didn't say anything. She just walked away with a big smile on her face. So I was like, that was cool. So that made my day. So I'm going to pick, well, I'm not going to pick anybody. We're just going to go and, oh, shoot. Here we go. So for you guys up there with little chakra meditation for you, just tape that. All right, just go into 951. And if you want to get on the air and you're in the queue, push 1 so I'll know that you want on the air. Because a lot of people just call in to listen.
Hello?
Hi, how you doing, 915? I'm sorry. I know I pushed your button, but I don't have to say anything.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I had a quick question. I just wanted to know did you see anything as far as my financial situation bettering itself in the next couple of months or perhaps sometime this year?
Yes, because your financial situation is going to change. It seems like you've already set some things into motion. I just keep getting that you need to really just open up and let them happen. I hope that makes sense to you, because that's the first thing that came to me very quickly. You know, it's like you're coming to a point and you've been waiting for a change. I just feel like the change is very close. I mean, in the next couple of months, I would get to the next... The way it comes to me is 7 to 10 days, maybe a month. But I also see something that you're waiting for is progression. So what I see happening is not a splurt. It's going to be something that's going to continually happen. So that's why I feel like the time frame is like the way it is.
Yeah, that's kind of... and now, would it be a lot of money or is it just a little? Because I've kind of been hoping for... Well, it's been something that's been in the motion, like you said, for a while. And then that you picked up on it. And it's supposed to be a lot. And I wanted to know, did you see it as being something small or is something, you know, something large?
To me, it's almost like a snowball's effect. So it's something that starts off small and starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point you're going, whoa, now that's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Hey, I'm pretty simple. That's pretty much it. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I'm sorry. One last thing.
One more.
I just thought of it.
That's
I'm sorry,
okay. Go
I'll
ahead.
Be quick. You know, my wife, she's been pregnant, and she's about 8 months, almost 9 months now, and we still don't know what it is. And I just wanted to know, did you see her having a boy or a girl? I don't know if you can tell that kind of thing or not.
I can definitely safely predict that she's going to have a baby. Okay.
You are Ryan.
I'm good.
At least she's safe, right?
Yeah, as long as she's healthy.
Man, she is really healthy, okay? She's really got that attitude going on, too. She's really playing you, man. But but you know that.
Yeah, I pretty much do.
And you love every minute of it.
Yeah,
but,
my third.
No, that's okay, man. The biggest thing I pick up here, I keep getting it over and over again, it's a boy.
That's interesting. That's what I thought, too. But, I mean, hey, I guess we're both tuned in, huh?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm just saying, with your situation, I tell a lot of people that what I did with my kids, and this might sound crazy, but when my kids were conceived and I knew it, and, you know, I knew that what happened, that's when I named them.
That's weird. That's so weird. Well, you know what? You taught me a lot in this just little couple of seconds. It taught me to follow my own intuition.
Okay, that's great.
Hey, but you've been helpful. I appreciate it.
You know, you're welcome, man. Thank you for calling. And please let us know, too. I like confirmation.
Oh, I will.
All right.
All right.
Okay, cool, man. Thanks. You have a great night. He must have been really appreciative. He's gone. All right. So this guy... Let's see, I don't want to sit here. Okay, we got plenty of time, man. We got 55 minutes, and we're going good here. Like, if you just tuned in, this is Psychic Journeyman. Actually, I'm sorry, this is Psychic X Journeyman. And this is Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio, and we're doing readings here. So if you just tuned in and you're out there listening, you want to call in, the number is 646-721-9031. And we'll go into our next caller here, area code 818. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Is this Susan?
It is. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I must tell you, one night I was a little upset because I think you didn't realize what was happening. Maybe you didn't. I got cut off or whatever, but there was a man who was acting threatening to me that night.
Oh.
Remember that night when I talked to when I felt that I had to speak up for a woman I didn't even know?
Uh-huh.
About abuse. After I got off the phone, I was so upset I had to call a helpline. But I've come a long way since then. And she says, listen, there are going to be people like that, and you just have to let it not affect you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first time you let someone affect you like that, basically they just took your power away. So
it just reminded me of my ex-husband, you know what I mean? And
right.
So, but I've come a long way since then. I found my passion, and it's music, and that's my therapy, and it's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. So
yes.
I wanted to share that with you, and a person in my
Ooh.
Life
mm-hmm.
likes you just for me. And
that's
it's
great.
Interesting hearing the man's point of view. I think that's why I like to listen what you have to say, to hear a man's point of view about hugging and, you know, because it's great to hear that, you opening up like that.
Oh, no problem. I was just saying, I was just saying, before you can go, you could also say hi to Faith and Bree.
Hi, Faith and Bree.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Oh, I got something good, exciting to tell you. My ex-husband moved away from where I live. He lives in the desert now.
Hey, seems pretty fitting.
Oh, my gosh. Lizard. Oops. I didn't say that right.
Well, I think we're good for one slip a night.
Yeah, thank you. I will be seeing him at my son's graduation, but by I don't care. So, you know, I'm much stronger by that. By last time I spoke to you, huh?
I said, for each cuss word, it's a $5 donation. But
and the funny thing is, I'm going to Colorado.
If you
to Boulder. That's where my son's graduation is.
Well, if you go so. By here, may I put you, please? Okay.
What'd you say?
No, I was just saying, I know you're in California, but I'm just saying, I tell people a lot of times, if you're passing by this way and you're going that way, so stop and pick me up and get me the hell out of here.
Oh.
But, you know.
If I was supposed to have a free ticket, but we won't talk about the banks. They play their little games. So.
The banks?
Yeah. What happened was, well, you're going to think this is very, very silly, but I found out that all these people are charging things on their credit card, and they're getting trips and hotels and everything. And silly me thought, whoa, at least maybe I can charge things on my divorce on my credit card, not realizing it that, well, your credit can't be that. It doesn't work that way. And while I was waiting to get some credit to do this, well, she ended up charging interest, but that's a long story. In the end, the case was so big and the bill was so high, they took off the interest because it was ridiculous. But along the way, I had a credit card that I kept on. You know, all of us had a credit card, and we were hoping that we were saving for this trip for my
mm-hmm.
son's graduation. And I was told by the credit card company that, yeah, okay, it's going to be fine. But as soon as my banker changed banks overnight, we lost everything. They lied to us. So the answer to this is when you got the money in your hand, spend it. Don't save it.
The banks lied to you? No.
Well, the credit card did.
Well, it's the same thing, Tom. Seriously.
Yeah, I know, because, yeah, when he left to go to another bank, he lost his, too, and everybody else lost their credit. Can you imagine all those years holding on to that? And I could have bought four tickets with that.
They're like politicians. Never believe them.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Just like I know about reality, I mean, like in the film industry or the movie industry, you know about that, they can make things look like reality and people believe these reality shows, but we know it's all fake. The trouble is people don't realize that the life we live is not really real either. It's not really a reality.
No, it's what we make it.
It's how we, yes, and when it comes to a judge, and if three people tell her a story, who is she going to believe, especially if things are duplicated? So I know that.
Depends on how much someone's paying her, right? The highest fee?
No, nothing to do with the highest fee. It's if everything's duplicated like checks and everything, she doesn't know who to believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it happened in my case. So, but then again, two people told me a story about a dog, and I didn't know which one to believe. I heard both stories. It's when you witness things yourself, then
mm-hmm.
maybe you can believe it, right?
That's it.
Otherwise, stories, what is a story, right? Who are you going to believe?
A story is something that begins and has an end.
Right.
The most interesting one, of course.
And life is not a story. Life is an adventure, a journey.
Thank you.
It shouldn't have an ending.
And you were talking about, I have to tell you one thing about meditation. The last person that I was with, I found out he was a narcissist. Which is a lot different from a sociopath, but they're kind of similar in some respects. Not as bad.
I didn't know it.
I just found out this the other day. Can you believe it? And what he taught me was how to quiet my mind and meditation. And when I was doing the meditation with him, he put thoughts in my head. But one thing, I had a hard time sitting still, and I was doing walking meditation. And all I could think about him, well, I do something else. When I walk and I say I'm grateful for things and I speak, the angels are walking beside me and all these things, and I say a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, after this walk, since this man I met in my life has inspired me in some respect, or maybe just something happened along the way that I have been writing poetry, writing songs, all these things are coming forth. All my creativity is coming. And another thing that's amazing that has happened to me, I'm learning how to communicate by asking things, confronting. You never know. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst thing can happen? They could say no, right?
That's right.
So the first time I ever confronted someone, what was that crazy guy, and he got very upset with me. But I learned from this relationship, and he doesn't mind me asking.
That's always
and
the key.
And what you're talking about, detaching, attaching or detaching, all the guy would say to me, detach, detach, detach. But what he really wanted me to be attached. So when a person says to you one thing, your mind goes a little nuts, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
and thinks the opposite. Did you know that? It happens that way in brain.
Yes, when they sit there and say, don't think about bunnies, and then all you think about is bunnies.
Yes. Especially a person that's very, very clever. I even believed he knew hypnosis, but no, I don't even know if he knew that. He just knew how to play brain games.
I always think, people do that to me. I always think about my favorite food.
Your favorite food?
So when they say bunnies, I say tuna.
Oh.
So it
but
doesn't work
is,
for me.
I didn't know this guy was doing it. That's the problem with a narcissist. They can be so clever to play that game.
I know. I've run across a couple of myself. They sit there and they play themselves as being psychic, and then they get mad because I close off. It's like, what'd you close your mind off to me for? I'm like, well, you're psychic. You tell me. So,
like a guru. He pretend he was a guru, and he has a cult following too. People believe him.
Well, those are the ones who actually have the cults that you follow them right to the freaking end. But some people are. I remember the thing with Jim Jones. Remember Jim Jones?
Yep.
And the mass suicide and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
When he first started out, he was really sincere and true. And it just kind of got one of those things that we tell people all the time. The reason you need to really focus on yourself and trust yourself. You have a tendency to attract people around you can trust too as well. And the biggest thing with Jim Jones was he attracted everybody. You know, the distinguish between the protection and that kind of stuff to the point where he didn't do spiritual protection, that he actually had protection of other people. And when he put his faith in the people, what happens?
What?
We've seen what happened.
Well, everyone followed him.
That kind of stuff. Was not really Jim Jones. Just kind of like it was a snowball effect of negativity.
Or I call it a butterfly effect. A butterfly effect, meaning that you put out something and it has an effect on others. And like, you know, just like how I've been feeling better about life is that I've been posting things on Facebook, positive things. And there's one site, I don't know how it came to me, but it was called, what is it called? Simple Truth or something like that. And and I've been posting that and happy music, and people are responding to it. And the more I'm making other people happy, of course I have to read what I'm writing. Sometimes I don't do that. You know, I post it, and now I'm reading them. I'm becoming positive by doing this. So, in other words, yeah.
It's reflections of yourself out into the world.
Yes, and you know, it's a funny thing you said about the dark and the light. The person that was that is a songwriter, whatever, musician, a child's musician, he always likes black. Isn't that funny?
Hmm.
The darkness?
Well, there's a difference between black and darkness.
Well,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
His clothing
saying,
was dark, but some
right.
of his clothes
he was in the
but
darkness.
I was attracted the day I was attracted to him. He wore glasses like I'm childlike, okay? They had heart
mm-hmm.
shape. I flirted with him. Oh, well, what did I know? I thought he was a child. Who would think that a child musician would have another side to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, no, I understand.
But
okay.
I was warned, and I said to him, I was scared that he was a scorpion, and he says, oh, ho, ho, I'm not like your ex. I'm a spiritualist. Oh, ho, ho. And one night I said to him, you could be the best thing for me or the worst thing for me, and he became both.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, in other words, believe in yourself, believe in your intuition, and don't believe in the doctors or any of these teachers or any of these spiritual people, because you got to believe in yourself, and that's all I can say. And the funny thing is, before I met him, I did learn about what they're teaching the children, to believe in your instincts. I just never got it. And I even said to him this, and he says, oh, don't believe in that. And me, like a fool, childlike.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted him to help my son, and I wanted to believe that he could help the future children. So I guess I didn't see the signs that were all around me, right?
Mm-hmm. It works. You know, the ideal situation of realizing the difference between a stranger and a strange person.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I was a child of love. I couldn't see. My kids, a child of abuse, saw it right through.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe them. So believe in your children, believe in the dogs, because he couldn't stand dogs, and my dogs know about, you know, dogs can sense some things, cats, I hate to say, cannot. Isn't it interesting?
That's why they hang out together, usually, really, realistically.
Do they really? Yeah. He had cats.
My cats do.
Yeah,
cats
we used to
cats, though.
Yeah, but we used to have cats, too, and then we had cats and dogs, and, you know, they used to hang out together all the time, and yeah,
you know,
a couple of them even protection, too.
Do you know what the difference between a cat and a dog's personality is?
My cat don't care, and a dog's direct.
That's right. The cat lets you be in their life. Lets you. And he doesn't really care. But a dog wants you to please you. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Oh.
And another thing, when I was with him, I was floating all the time. And I never realized it.
Oh, so it's the idea of ungrounding you.
Yes, he was trying to. Everyone's born being domesticated, right? He was trying
mm-hmm.
to do this opposite experiment, de-domesticating me. So, in other words, of course, when a person acts that way and inspires you for the first time in your life, you begin to believe in that person.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing it, right? All the
mm-hmm.
brain games. So, I'm happy he came into my life because I'm the new person that I'm is now. If it wasn't for that person, I wouldn't have met this one because I was pushing one onto the other. Because in my silly head, I believe I was this guy's promoter, and he liked the idea. And so I was pushing one onto the other one. They're both in the music industry. And
mm-hmm.
he said to me, this new person in my life said, listen, this guy is nothing against you. And he said it in such a way, I still remember. It's just
mm-hmm.
he's not what I want. And he told me not too long ago that he knew him a year before he met me, and he couldn't understand why I was with this guy who was crazy. But now that he knows about my past with my ex-husband, he says, listen, I understand they were crazy and not you.
Whoa.
But, you know, in life, it's who you associate. Some people look at you, it's, you know what I mean, who you associate,
mm-hmm.
and they judge you for that. So the answer to this one is don't look at someone just at the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the layers off slowly before you get too close.
Yeah, that's what I always tell everybody. You know, don't look at, you know, it's like one of those things of don't and sit back and what do you feel? Not what you see.
It's what
you
feel. I felt nothing when I touched him, not a thing, but he had a magic touch. He could. You're gonna laugh at this one. He could take energy from someone, and he was an energy vampire, and then use that energy that he took from my hand when we sat in the guru's fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he could use that energy to make me feel very nice indeed. Just by the touch of his finger. Yeah.
Hmm.
Orgasm. You know what I mean? And
I wasn't there. So.
Every part, just by his touch of his finger. But the trouble is, when I touch me, hug me, I felt nothing. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of those things, manipulation of energy. You don't feel it when you hug them because they're always using it against you.
Is that what it is? And he was a Reiki master, so he knew how to do this?
That's why we always talk about duality, of paying attention to what you feel with people when you see them. Do you sense that you should trust this person or you shouldn't? Because, everybody has the ability to do that. And as long as we have professions, you're always going to have two sides of the story. One person's there for his own purpose, and the other person's there to give.
Uh-huh. And things, as I said something to him, I told him he was gay. I thought he was gay to his face. So I really shattered his ego quite a few times. But besides that, he told me, well, this is how, it's a soul hug. In other words, this is the way heart to heart, that's a soul hug. And I believed him. I didn't know.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy? But after I met him, I met so many people in the that were young songwriters or singers, and they all did the soul hug. So it was like, what was happening? if you meet more than 10, don't you start to believe? Well, maybe that is such a thing as a soul hug. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you think light was attracting light, and we're coming towards me like him? Does it make sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
Right? Because I want to tell you something. The person that I'm with is a genuine person. I'm meeting people like him that are like him. So I guess it's true. Like, is, you do attract like light.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Susan, you want to just kind of hang out with us? And
you don't mind me hanging out with you?
I'm going to take a couple calls here, yeah.
Sure. Okay, I'll have fun.
All right. So let's go on area code 646, I think. Yeah, it's a 646, I think.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can now. How are you?
Hi, my name is Dawn. And
you
I have a question.
Okay.
My name is Dawn. And my question is, I met this, like, about 2 years ago. I think it's been 2 years now. I met this younger boy, or maybe it's a year, I don't know. But I met this younger boy named Dre, and I kind of knew him, like, before, but for some reason I was gravitated towards him to mentor him for the summer. And I ended up mentoring him, but he had a lot of problems. He was in a gang, and he ended up getting kidnapped and shot at, and eventually, after the summer was over, he was murdered. And so I just felt like, why was I mentoring him? What was the purpose? What was I supposed to show him? How was it supposed to help me? Because I was quite devastated. Like, when he died, I felt like it was like a child or a little brother dying. So if you could give me some answers, that would be great.
Well, with the situation, how did you feel with the idea of mentoring him?
Well, I just felt like he really needed it. Like, he was just going down the wrong path, and he needed some love, like just some love, you know. Some people, his parents, his siblings, they just kind of let him, you know, run amongst and just, you know, do whatever and run with the bad crowd. So I felt like I was just to give him love. He's supposed to give him love and direction. So... But I didn't really get a chance to because he died. So just,
no, he passed on.
Well, yeah, he passed on, yes.
Well, the point of passing on is the idea of what you did. You did do what you, the things you hope that you would have done for him, loved him, and gave him direction, you did.
Right.
Okay. It was part of his life. So the
I'm
idea
sorry,
of the situation, I said he was murdered, right?
Right, right.
So someone else took it. But after his death, he was able to move on because of what you've given him.
Oh, okay.
So Well, see, sometimes with situations, people in bad directions and that kind of stuff, and even the situation of having a lot of arrogance when they pass, they don't realize they're dead. Because there's sometimes you're told, I'm so great, you know, I'm a badass. I can't be dead, you know.
Right.
But with the situation, what you gave him and that kind of stuff, it did resonate with him. And I just feel like it had a lot to do with him, Pat, when he did pass over. It made the transition, because that's the word I got, transition, easier.
Can I ask you something? What career are you going, striving for?
I'm going into counseling, and particularly just counseling and, like, mentorship of, like, at-risk youth.
Okay,
so
then,
that was, like,
okay, then you know what happened in your journey? This person was supposed to come towards you, and you came towards him for a reason, and the reason was fulfilled for both of you. You gave him something he needed badly, and you learned from him, and what you learned from him, did you think about being a counselor before you mentored him or after it came to you?
Before, but you learned that.
See, I guess part of you feels that, why did I bother? But you did make a difference in this kid's life for the short time he was here. He'll never die because in your memories of him, the good things will live on. And the good things that you learned and the things that you did, you could do that to another person, and you know that you can do it. So just believe that you did make a difference for him. He was murdered by someone. He didn't commit suicide. Do you see the difference?
Right,
he didn't take his own life. Someone took it away from him. If he wasn't murdered, it's possible that he could have been successful from what he learned from you and the love you gave him. So think of that way. If you think of that way, you see how positive it is and not negative.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. That really brought me closer, because I don't even, it's weird, but I don't even think about it. I don't know. Like, I just, it's really touchy, because that was just my first experience that just kind of, it went, I wasn't expecting that to happen. I wasn't expecting him to die. So,
he was just at the wrong time, at the wrong place. But what he learned from you, he could have been successful in his life. And just think of it that way. So what you taught that boy, you could take that knowledge and do it to another person, and it will be successful.
Okay.
Does that help a little bit?
But he did learn something, right? Like you said.
He did learn from you. He didn't kill himself. And remember, you were telling me that he was in a bad place. He could have committed suicide, but he didn't. He just was at the wrong place at the wrong time when it happened. And, yeah. Can I tell you a little story before you go?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay. At my son's school, there was a boy who was at a wrong place at the wrong time. He was saving a girl from being murdered. A gun went to her head, and he saved her, and he got murdered. And that's all that it was. He was there at the wrong time. So sometimes he's a hero. He died a hero.
Right.
So just take it that you did goodness, and what you learned, you learned something too when you mentored him. You learned you were practicing, and now you can become what you practice on someone else and be successful in your field.
Okay, thank you. I really needed this. Whew. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
You too. Thank you. Let's see.
Wow, I can't believe I came up with that. I guess it's just you look in your heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
And it's empowering for me to say that I helped someone else.
There you go. Well, let's go on to our next caller. It's area code 360. Hi, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, my name's Lori.
Lori.
Hi. I called into Amy's show one night, you know, and you were like online too, and I was asking about this business thing that I did with this guy. He was growing my plants for me, you know, because I have one of those licenses to you know, grow my own medical, you know,
right,
marijuana. Mm-hmm. And the guy did rip me off, you know.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you see what's going to happen from here, like if there's anything I can do or should do or, you know, or I just have to.
You looking for retribution?
Or restitution.
Restitution.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. I mean,
yeah,
it makes me sick, you know, that I have to just. He just gets away with that.
Yeah, but see, I always tell people in the situations that no one really gets away with anything. And I just feel like what he's done to you, I feel like for some reason I keep getting the summertime of him getting that back 10 times. I don't know. For some reason I feel like his karma is going to make him wind up in a ditch. Because
mm-hmm.
he's not listening. He's not listening to himself. He's not listening to his friends. And he's just, I just keep getting things getting worse and worse. So, you know, with the situation you're talking about, because I keep getting the impression with you and the situation with him is just to walk away from the whole thing because of what's coming to him. That you don't want to be a part of that. And in any kind of shape or form. And that could be something that come back on you. And I feel like if you break away now and just let it go, those things won't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Do you think I should, you know, make a police report or anything like that? I don't know how that would go.
The thing I get, since it's legal,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely make a police report because the way it comes to me is make a police report to protect yourself.
Okay.
And then just basically let everything else take care of itself that way, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I understand. It's one. You're welcome. It's just one of those things you just try to do as much as you can and just let it go. Breathe and let it go, okay?
Okay.
You'll definitely see a difference there. Just almost like getting to the point where after, it's like getting the report done, and then after that, forget he exists.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good night. Happy Easter.
You too. Yeah, bye-bye. I keep forgetting it's Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Wow. That's heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you report somebody to the police, you're going to get your own self in trouble.
Yeah, but see, she can actually, she grows it legally.
Oh, legally.
For medical purposes. Yes, medical purposes, yeah.
Oh, okay, then you can't get in trouble for doing that. Okay.
No, that's why I told her she needed to file a report to protect herself from these other crazy nuts. Because realistically, there are people, like everything else, that people prey on those people because of, it's an easy mark. Someone else is doing the work for them. As soon as harvest comes in, so do they.
Right, but I found out that if you buy it, even for, you know, for your own medical, and you sell it to someone else, then you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, people getting crazy about Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's in California because he wanted to legalize it. But, you know, but it's like everything else. It seems like everybody jumps on the bandwagon and go, oh, he wants to legalize pot. What's next? Cocaine? And he said, no. That's not the point. It's the ideal situation of legalizing things. The theory is when you legalize things, they have a tendency to lose their value.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And right now with the situation like that and kind of stuff, plus you take it away, then you also have a tendency to, as the theory goes, the crime that goes around that kind of situation also drops because no necessity. I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine. I was like, instead of having a war on drugs, what they should do is, you know, if there's no demand for it, then there's no supply because they don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Venice, have you heard of Venice in California, area in Venice?
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Okay, well, they closed up the places that were selling the marijuana on the Strip.
Oh, really?
So that's, yeah, it's going to be interesting what's going to happen now, and a lot of other places are closing. So, well, I just think when I was flying over Colorado, it happened to be the day everyone was lighting up, and I thought the place was on fire, and I thought the police were the smartest. They didn't do anything. They just let the people smoke, and no one got hurt. No one got in trouble, and then it just blew over. Oh, that's funny. Blew over. But you
well,
know.
Yeah, but the thing about they proved, there was a quote by Sister Teresa who said that she would never go to a war rally. She said, if you're going to have a peace rally, then I would definitely be there, but no war rally. She said, anytime you put the word war in anything,
uh-huh.
you're just promoting it more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we were talking the other day on here, too, about alcohol. I'm like, AA, going to these places and saying, okay, they have you when you come in, and when you speak, you have to say, I am an alcoholic. And a lot of people are not liking that anymore because that's basically reinforcing that you're an alcoholic, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to get past the whole thing. And they really have a tendency to feed on a lot of those things instead of, like I said, everything else. I mean, it seems like these things are always good ideals, and they always start off with the best intentions, but mm-hmm. somewhere along the line they have a tendency to lose track. And I think people have to understand that we're always telling people to stop and do a life review. I think everything, everyone, in every situation, they should do the exact same thing. And then we can sit there and see things and go, okay, look at the situation, what's going on now. The idea of support groups have turned around, and now they're making decisions for people. That's not what they're for.
Oh, yes, and you know, it's so dangerous that the people that have this tendency to be sociopaths or controlling freaks are the ones that are taking those professions. Judges, attorneys, teachers, doctors, all the ones that make decisions on people. And
yeah,
therapists. And I went to one support group. I thought it was a support group, and they were more abusive than anyone else could be. I mean, and, you know, because they feel you should do this, that way. You don't want to be controlled by them. You know what I mean? And they think make you say, and if they say you're the one that caused all the problems, well, that's dangerous too. So there. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about me again. Oh, by the way, one more thing. That person I was involved with, he was smoking all the time. We were
all
smoking.
The time.
Yeah, had to be in that state
smoking.
Of mind. So, not that I'm saying that it's bad, but sometimes my niece seems to tell me that it's better to take it than take all the other medical drugs that the doctors are giving you. I don't know which is better.
Self-healing.
Self-healing, right. Meditation, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you have, you know, when they say disease, the body's that is not at ease, you know. So therefore, I've noticed that I had a toothache, and it seems like when I relaxed and let go of it, there was no pain. It was
yeah.
when I got afraid about it, when I felt like, oh no, I broke the tooth, now it's going to hurt. See, I just reinforced it, and then it started hurting. But when I turned it around, it did the opposite. It didn't. So people can say what they want to, but if you take the efforts to take it that direction,
you're
might
right.
be amazed might actually accomplish without it, you know.
It only worked for a short time, though. Did the toothache come back?
Never.
Oh, it didn't. Wow. I wish that worked for my feet. In my mind, I walked for hours with the dogs. I came back. My feet were still tight, the circulation. So
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe it depends on what it is, how long it lasts. So.
Well, tons of situations of meditations and stuff. I've worked with some people who said, I did this meditation, but it didn't seem to work. And I said, well, how long did you do it for? And people do it for like 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes if they would just do an additional 5 minutes, and they'll see the results. What I did, my intent was for the pain to stop. And as soon as the tooth broke, I did do some mechanical things, as I call it, you know, wash my mouth out, do the salt and water thing and that kind of
uh-huh,
stuff.
So that helped to heal it, yeah.
Well, you get rid of the infection and stuff before it starts, but then again, you got to understand one salt can only do one thing, get rid of infection, but there's no infection there. It's basically just the tooth and its air and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's thoughts. So what I did was, I sit here and I was doing this. I can't remember the name of the guy who wrote these books, but there's two books on quantum healing, and it's quantum touch. And what I did was I took those techniques in that book, and I put my hand on my jaw for 3 hours.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, the freaking jaw tightened up and it went pulled like a almost like it sounded like a, one of those ropes. When you pull the ropes together, you get that kind of a weird noise when you pull them together real tight.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. And then it never hurt again.
Well, I know when you're calm, it goes away for a short time. I'll do that. But mm-hmm. then all of a sudden when you wake up, when you first wake up, that's when it hurts the most. From your, you know, all of a sudden you try to stretch, leg cramp comes. Oh, painful.
Well, I'm just saying, when you sit there and look at the body, when the body gets hit or hurt or something like that,
uh-huh.
They had monitors on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And when those places get hurt, and the pain is not in the physical, as in the arm or leg or wherever you got hit, it's in the brain.
It is. And you can do it. Your eye was able to not feel things. In other words, in the relationship, not this, the last one, but the one before my ex, I never felt anything at
mm-hmm.
all. And so I would escape later and do exercise and just escape in another place. And
mm-hmm.
my mind never remembered. I threw up. I didn't remember I was doing it. That was I was trying to get rid of the thoughts in my head, like my son did. But I blanked it out. And so
mm-hmm.
your mind can do that too, because you don't want to go to that place.
Oh yeah.
And so what I learned recently that you can't. If you want to get rid of something, you have to put yourself in the place, not look at it as a third person, and then you look at it, and then you can let it go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what someone told me, and I think it can help, so, you know, doing that. So.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just one of those things of doing a simple technique.
Yeah, and laughter is good. Laughter and positive energy, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially when you're
I love laughter. Love, love,
yeah.
You know?
I watch Mr. Bean or English Humor. My family's from England, and it's like, I laugh so hard I fall off the chair.
Yeah, I used to watch. My favorite is Benny Hill.
Oh, love Benny Hill, right.
Okay.
Very, very clever. Very clever. He got away with murder.
Yeah, Benny Hill. He said when he died, they actually didn't find him. He went to his apartment. Benny Hill was a kind of a crazy guy. He was like, he was very wealthy, but he lived in a one bedroom flat.
Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just, I guess you would say his needs and that kind of things
uh-huh.
wasn't extravagant and that kind of thing, and he put a lot into his shows. And actually, what he got, it was funny too. He actually got canceled. And he was in the process, and he had just gotten the word that he was going back on TV, but he never found that out. He passed away in his apartment.
Oh, in America or England?
England.
In England.
Yeah, they went to his apartment.
Got canceled in England. In America, oh wow.
Yeah, because they went to his apartment to tell him, and I guess he'd been dead for a while because they said when they came to the apartment, it'd been like 3 days.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it was one of those things of going, you know, and they felt like some of the guys he used to work with felt like he might have done that on purpose, you know, so because, you know, it was one of those things of a surprise when you
really? It wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's one thing I like about Netflix. I actually can watch Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and things like that. Stuff
uh-huh.
I never thought you could. You know, some things, variety shows I never knew anything about, like Red Skelton. You remember? I don't know if you remember him or not.
I never really watched that. Yeah.
Red Skelton is more like he was more of your verbal mime, because he did a lot of skits and stuff and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he did a lot of one man shows. And I actually had a couple of those too. I was watching the other night. Guy is really
clever, huh?
I mean, he was just funny because. See, the one thing Red Skelton had going for a lot of people don't, a lot of your comedians don't laugh. They just tell the jokes, and they.
Oh,
like
he had a
laugh.
Great laugh. Yeah, now I remember him. He had a funny laugh, and his face was a bit odd.
Yeah, and he always.
I remember him now. Oh, yeah.
At the end of every show, he'd always say, "God bless," and good night. Okay. But he was, funny. I was sitting there looking at him going, he would laugh. Because he was sitting there talking about his, he was talking about his wife, and it was funny. He was sitting there going, he said, she's got the bluest eyes you ever seen, blue little pools. And then he goes, and if you look real close, you can see the sharks coming at you.
Well, you know, the difference between English humor and American humor is that in English humor, there are consequences. In American humor, they just make fun of people. And I don't see it. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get humor. I don't get a lot of humor.
Remember, Don, no. Oh,
Don Rickles?
Yeah, Don Rickles. Now,
liked him.
He was, I don't know, some comedians are just saying things that you would like to say, so.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They had this one guy come on there, and he said what he didn't like about these roasts, because no one ever roasted him, and he never got a dinner. And he never got a dinner until someone got roasted, so therefore he never got to go out and eat until someone called him to do one of these roasts, and he finally got a dinner. And it was just like, red buttons. It was red buttons.
Oh, that was a funny thing you said that. He was a relative of ours. And
red button?
Yeah, for marriage.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We got someone else on the line.
So.
No, I just want to, we're like 12 minutes down, so I just want to sit there and jump on here and see if we get another, boy, how much time was that?
Are you doing something special tomorrow for Earth Day?
Yes, I'm going to sit on the Earth. So.
That's so funny.
I might plant a tree, but, you know, it depends.
Yeah.
I don't know what diapers got to do with it, but, you know, boom.
I'm not even going to ask. Part of me wants to know what my cards are saying. The other part of me says, no, I don't want to hear anything negative. I'm just enjoying everything right now.
I'm sitting here, but I haven't heard your cards say anything. So I think we're good to go on that one. So I would say with your situation, I feel like you're holding back just a little bit. And the one card I have standing right at me says, spread your wings. Don't hold back now. It's time. The timing is perfect. And you are ready. So soar.
Oh.
And on that note, I'm going to go to area code 608. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's your name?
My name is Devin.
Devin.
Yes, sir.
So
hey, fuck you, and tarot cards are gay as fuck.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So, do you like that when they come on the air and you're going, all you had to do was ask a simple question. I know you're having problems, so, you know, the idea of expression of anger, isn't it great? So we just helped that man out. He let it out.
Yeah.
So let's go to area code 1111111 and see what they got to say. Let's keep our fingers on the button just in case they know, you know, that guy owes me what? At least $3-$5 donations for each one of those words, don't he? So.
Let's not give him any credit, okay?
No, let's do this. Let's say, I'm going to really tick him off and say, thank you so much for being on the show, because you know something? My ratings just went up 3. And it was all because of you. Thank you. Please. Thank you. I appreciate it. You are so fantastic, man. If I could just send you a present right now.
By the way, when you go on, you talk on these shows or anyone that calls up, I found out on my page, I am promoting all of you. I'm advertising.
Huh? I said, that's good.
Yeah. I didn't know it. The way as soon as you press something, Facebook just puts something on. But what I'm discovering now, they're promoting themselves. YouTube is promoting. As soon as you post.
Devin? Hello?
Oh, hey. You're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's your name?
My name's Kenny.
Kenny? Do you know Devin?
Devin.
Yeah, the guy used to play on Knight Rider.
No.
Oh, you don't know him? Okay.
No. I just want to say to all the listeners that we have to take care of Mother Nature tomorrow, and that I hope everyone goes outside and picks up some trash and plants a tree and fuck some bitches.
Well, there you go. Someone's inviting us to go out and hug a tree and walk our dogs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, seriously, you know.
That's nice.
Didn't he say something about twigs? Twigs and figs.
I don't know. I thought he said kiss and hug a tree. Maybe I heard wrong.
No, he did say go out and plant a tree and get one with Mother Nature. The last part was a little off. He said something about twigs or something. Ditches. Maybe it's the ideal. That's how he digs and buries his trees. You know, I always dig ditches, and I put trees on them, and I push the dirt to the side. It was really cool. So we sit here and look at the situation and say, I love people who make guest appearances on this show, and I think we just seen the reincarnation of Bud Abbott and Abbott Costello.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
I'm Gracie, you know, from, what's his, Gracie?
Yeah, like George Burns used
George
to say.
George Burns and Gracie, I forgot his name.
George Burns and Gracie. George Burns said he loved his act when he worked with Gracie because all he did was ask Gracie how she was doing, and that was the whole act. She would just tell everybody how she was, and it was so funny. He just sat there and just smoked his cigar, and he did that for 25 years.
Yeah.
So we should thank you guys for calling in because you just spun all those memories up of all those comedians out there, and you guys were so funny. Take it on the road. I swear you guys would make $1 million.
as long as we're sending positive energy to each other, that's what counts, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's so positive. I'm going to go plant a tree now, you know? And maybe he was saying plant a tree and make sure you get the little twigs off it so it can grow. I don't know. But it sounded good.
Watch for your step.
we're all sending them positive energy that they obviously need, right?
Positive energy, yes, because they've done nothing but make us feel positive about ourselves, so thank you very much.
Exactly.
You know, I hate to say this. You might think this is a very strange thing for me to say, but sometimes when you hear other people's problems and what they're all about, somehow it makes you feel good about who you are.
Hey, I don't sound that. I don't think that's weird. I guess we should thank him again. We're feeling really good, guys. I mean, I'm just going to...
I mean, by me speaking up, I mean, I never could communicate before, and by me helping someone else and saying I helped them, it was, like, empowering for me. I mean, it's like that... So now I know what you feel like when you help everybody that calls in, you know?
Yeah, and I'm always looking for ways to... Like I was telling that one person, I mean, I have people call me all the time, constantly, be asking the same question over and over again. But what I try to do is they're still asking for help. Maybe, I don't know... Sometimes I don't think they're asking for the answer to that certain question. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. And I try to go deeper on those situations to find more about the whole thing because it might be more of a you need a couple sessions to sit down and just little relationship questions or just maybe you just need 20 minutes to vent. So it's one of those things
sometimes
of finding
people
this
need that. They just need to talk because they have no one else to talk to. So someone said to me, I'm a child. Like, and I'm a child, and I take it as a compliment. I'd rather be a child than an adult and boring. But this person was trying to put me down, but I don't care, you know?
All I was going to say was 336, I think it's 336, area code. If you wanted to ask any questions, all I ask is you push the button, push 1 to give me a signal, because I think I've talked to you before, and I think you're just listening. So I'm just asking to make sure that you might have a question before we go off the air in 5 minutes. But I would be glad to answer any questions that you'd like. Maybe we've already answered all the questions for you. I kind of hope so, because, I mean, it's like one of those things that kind of gives us some input, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you something. I can be a visionary, and I dream things and things that are happening around me. So my suggestion to you is tonight... I bet you're a visionary too, right? You think of things and they appear?
Yeah.
So dream about you going on that trip. Visualize it in your mind that you're going on that trip and who knows? And money coming towards you, it could happen, you know?
Yeah, I was visualizing the idea of having an angel in my life and then Bree came on. So I guess I should keep doing the Colorado thing.
There you go. A friend of mine told me, I think of things and things happen. He says, please start dreaming about gold bonds or gold bars. bars, right? Not bonds. Okay, Jeremy, I'm going to bomb bombs chocolate.
I was thinking of the other order of gold bonds is actually powder that people use.
He says for me to stop dreaming about being up in the air, up in the clouds.
Last time I dreamed about being in the air, next thing I know, I was taking a flight from Oklahoma to Texas. So I don't know if that was a bad idea, man. One thing I liked about the whole thing, I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I've done relationship counseling and that kind of stuff, and I was really, sometimes we have these questions that if we're doing, are we really good at it? Are we really qualified to do it? Because everybody says you got to go to school and do this kind of stuff. And I always feel like when you work with people, if you really listen, you learn more than going and learning in a book. Because when you look at a book, to me, a book is somebody's theory. But when I work with people one-on-one, I see it for myself, so it's no longer theory. It's actually fact. So I was taking a flight from Oklahoma to Texas, and I got on this flight, and I was sitting next to this pastor. He was actually a preacher. No. What do they call the ones that are Catholic? Priest. Thank you. The priest. I was sitting there talking to him. He did relationship counseling, right? And he went to school for it. And we were sitting there talking, and I thought what was so incredible was I held this conversation with him about relationship, because he had a book in his hand about relationship counseling. And so, I do that, and I sit there and start talking and stuff. And then I started giving him my theories and what I've experienced and that kind of stuff. I thought it was so cool, and I think everybody likes this moment when you sit there and actually have learned something, you pass it on to somebody, and you talk to somebody who actually could be classified as really qualified as going to school and that kind of stuff, and you make them think.
Uh-huh. That's,
and that's what I did with this guy.
That's
this
what
guy
it's
was
all about.
That's what I started telling him.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
When I had a machine class, a class, that was part of the class. You learned, one person learned how to do something, and then part of the class is you had to teach the next person and the next person. But I think now, come to think of it, the teacher just sat back and just watched everyone teach everyone else the whole semester.
Okay.
I think he must have been the smartest one, right?
Maybe so, but if you think about life itself, when they say you're your brother's keeper,
uh-huh.
You give to your brother, and he gives to his brother, and we're all brothers and sisters, then it's a chain reaction we set off that comes back to us tenfold.
I see what you're saying, too. But what you were saying about the priest, this
you
is
sound
what
so quiet.
Like, I don't get it. How can he have understand relationships? Priests, do they have? I mean, you know what I mean?
Well,
they don't get married,
like every,
so how can they...
Sometimes with the situation of advice, if he has a commitment to what he's doing in his life, that could be considered that's a relationship too.
Oh,
you see? That's a relationship that he has with God. And by his reflection of his relationship that he has with him, people take him seriously.
Okay. I understand.
So you see, everybody has their like we always talk before, there's no such competition. Everybody's here for a reason, and if they all take their positions like they're supposed to, that's when the world starts going in the right direction and it balances itself out by just people making decisions. Because it's said right now, people, it's a true fact, two things that are proven, that the human race is bonded and connected, and the human race always wants communion. They want to hang out with each other. They want to be together. They want to do that communion. They love talking, communicating, and intersecting with each other. The only thing man has that nature and animals and that kind of stuff only take what they need. There's only one animal on this planet that takes more.
Man.
Yes, and so if we could learn how to do the same thing by realizing that success and prosperity and abundance means taking only what is needed to obtain what you have. Like, people want to be millionaires just for the sake of being millionaires because of insecurities. Oh, by the way, good night, guys, and have a great one.
Good night. Have a happy Earth Day tomorrow, and thank you for letting me share with you tonight. Okay, bye-bye.
Hoppity, hop, hop, hoppity, hop, hop. Okay.
Oh, bye.
Bye. And we're out of here. Have a great night. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Bree.
Hi.
Yeah, this is great, huh? We didn't really have that mishaps tonight, wasn't it?
Oh.
Well, I mean, except for the, you know, the crawlers.
Yeah, we did. It was good. Yep.
It's one of those things that we I'm just trying to sit there and look at the situation and go, how can we learn from the crazy man? This make him trying to take the situation, is they're trying to make a bad situation and somehow to divert it to be a positive one. So I just started thinking about, I used to have people like this when I used to do stand-up and working with other people, and you'd always have somebody cracking jokes and that kind of stuff. It was used, I just took the same techniques of coming back and saying, hey, this is the way it is, and that's what's going on, and I learned that. So I just thought, hey, we'll do it here, because these are like hecklers in some sense of the word, too. Oh, yeah. So, did I do good?
Yeah.
I thought so. I wasn't too sure, but I like having fun, so therefore it's one of those things, sometimes we do shows for so long, we get away from the whole thing and start realizing maybe we should start doing that again, because that's what brought the people in the first place. And the chat room was really full before, and I think really still, but you did a good job.
Thanks.
No, seriously, man. I mean, you see the people, I heard some people in the chat room, they were sitting there saying, you know, hey, you know, those people were really listening, that kind of stuff, and kind of saying, well, is there any way they could get back in? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I typed back. I was like, I said, no, I don't believe I will, because that was not right. And then I had people, way to go, co-host.
So it was like one of those things of saying, you know, I back up everything you do 100%.
Thank you. Yeah, I gave them a chance, but then when they started talking about parts.
Parts.
That's when I was like, no, not happening.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things before, you know, because realistically with the situation, yeah, okay, free speech, but I think if you have a format for a show and they're not, and they're just trying to get a reaction, then it's taking attention away from the situation anyway.
Oh, yeah, so, we had a few of them that were falling into their trap, and I was like, just ignore them, just ignore them.
Yeah, don't respond, because, I mean, when you respond in a negative way, that's what they want you to do. They want you to get angry. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to tick you off. So, like when we had Block TV, I was doing that, I'd go in there and check. I never realized this, but when you're on Block TV, there's actually a button. You can clear this freaking chat room. I mean, you can clear everybody.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went in there, wow. And there was nothing in there but insults. I went, boop, see ya. And on that one, I never found it on ours. Where you can actually ban people. I see where you can kick them out.
Yeah, I don't think they're able to get back in if you kick them out.
Oh, okay.
Not on this show. Or on the show that you kicked them out on.
Yeah. I know on Blog TV I can ban them. So there's a kick and a ban.
Oh.
So you can take, you know, you kick them out for a while, or you can ban them. And I decided to take care of the problem altogether. Once and for all, forget you, buddy, bye. So I guess Charlotte's going to call you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I saw a message in the chat room. I wasn't too sure, so I mean, how do you feel?
I shall think we should do like a conference call, then we could both put up.
You don't like talking about yourself, do you?
No, she really likes you, you know.
I know that, but you know something? In a situation, what I was trying to say the other day, a scary thing like that is, what she's looking for, I can't give her back, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing, because, you know, we don't like to hurt people's feelings, but even in situations being blunt and telling people up front, they still have a tendency not to listen, and she reminds me of my ex-fiance's mom.
Yeah.
She wants something, and she thinks that she's really nice about it, and she does all these nice things for me, and it's just, you know, I understand what you're saying. And if you want to do a three-way call, that's fine. I got to go to the store first. Can I do that?
Yeah. I'll turn my Skype on, and you just give me a ring on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I know she'll be talking on the home phone with me, and we'll just try and set it up that way. But, yeah, I would love to have your company with her. Sorry.
I feel like I'm being used, man. She's using me, man. I was hoping there would be a little sincerity here. She really does like me, but I think I'm just running interference between her and Charlotte. Gosh, boy. This is where you come in and say, no, that's not true.
It's not true.
Okay, I'm just saying. Also, with the situation, anything comes up, I mean, you need to talk to me. I don't care if it's, I don't care what time of the day it is or what it is. Just give me a call, okay?
Okay.
I know there's a lot of things going on in your mind and stuff, and you want to talk, and sometimes you can't talk in 8 hours a day. So, I know we don't talk during the day anyway, but. And like I was telling you the other day, I love spending time with you, but every once in a while I got to take 2 or 3 hours and work on what is that thing called? Or talk on, ouch. Let me take a deep breath. I drank too much green tea.
your TV thing, right?
Exactly.
Or something
yeah,
like that, yeah.
Yeah,
working.
That's what I was telling you. If I'm not, like, realistically, right now, either I'm doing the show, I'm working, or I'm spending time with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no pressure. I'm just saying. I mean, that's my decision. I like that. I'm just saying, you know, it's like you got things to do.
Yeah.
So you should definitely do those things. I'm just saying. I know for every once in a while I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or even 3 o'clock in the afternoon and just look for someone to talk to. And I guess that's what I'm doing. Just open the invitation. I think you know that. I'm just clarifying and say. Anytime, it's like, how do we put this? Any time of the day or night, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to buzz the store, and I'll definitely call you later and basically bail you out.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, with Sharla, just give her some time. Because she was like, this is what she said to me, and you can take it any way you want to. She doesn't feel like you trust her. That you don't trust
her.
Because I was there trying to tell her nothing, but that we talk about, especially if she doesn't know.
Right.
I feel like if you want to tell her, you'll tell her. So I don't tell anybody anything you tell me.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, that's the one thing she told me, that she feels like you don't trust her. So it's just, if you could just somehow just spend some time with her, just say, no, I trust, you know, something. You don't have to say it to her. I know you'll do it the way you feel like you should do it. But I'm just saying, I try to tell her, I said, it's not that she doesn't trust you. It's just the ideal that sometimes when she's in, things are going on, it's just feeling comfortable with yourself. Oh, I know how you. I was trying to explain to her. Sometimes we don't feel comfortable even talking to people we do trust.
Yeah.
We're just dealing with things on our own and stuff. But we will. That's why I tried to tell her. I said, she will talk to you. She will open up and she'll tell you things that maybe she hasn't told you. But, you know, give her the time and give her the space and realize that she does trust you. But there's some things that sometimes we just keep to ourselves. Has nothing to do. She takes things too personal. I do know that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Yep.
I know you have no intentions of hurting anybody, but some people take it that way when you don't tell them anything, not realizing we don't have to tell them anything. They should feel honored when we do tell them anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. Can
when
you hear
I heard
me?
That cat, yeah, when I heard that cat meowing on the show, I just burst it down in tears.
Why?
Because I miss my Moppy.
Oh.
He's used to doing that.
I'm sorry. I thought that was I meowed back in the microphone. I thought that was your cat.
that was the
cat?
Other one.
Whose cat was that? I'm sitting there talking to someone's strange cat. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I'm sorry. We'll focus.
No, it was.
Then we can focus and bring her back. Bring him back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He needs to come back.
That sucks. He got out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Mm.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I've done this before. I've asked my angels to find things and be amazed.
Yeah.
So I'll give that a go. I'll do that while I'm out. Alrighty?
Okay.
Okay. Shouldn't be that long. I'll call you a little later, okay?
All right.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.